talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, everybody. First on the agenda, free talk. Couple of ground rules. No shop talk. Also, no religion or politics. Too divisive. Also, don't tell a story about someone we don't all know. It makes people feel excluded. Other than that, sky's the limit.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I cannot take this. I cannot take this. Like, I'm literally about to cry right now, mother. Let me get this straight, okay? Let me get this mother straight.
Whoa, that's okay. This is a workplace, okay? We don't talk like that here. You should get on home with that kind of talk. Because this, I don't know what this is, but it's wrong.
And now,
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. And it's Rodney and the Rocks here, still honking out hits.
Our feature presentation.
I wish we could honk out the hits.
I feel like we do.
Yeah. Do we? Do we honk them out?
Yeah, I mean, today we have Cypress Hill on. That feels sure. Like we're honking something.
Sure. I guess. I feel like he does it better, that's all.
Well, it's hard to beat the Hall of Famer.
Right.
We could try.
Can we try?
How
do we, what's the first step of honking the hits?
Well, a meeting.
meeting,
we have to have a meeting. We have to really map this out.
I'm not into trying.
No?
No.
Okay.
I think we should just do it.
All right.
I don't think we should try.
All right. Full on honking today.
All right. Sweet.
That's the thing.
Honk City.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning, the 26th of September. I don't know if you guys were the same as I was. I assume you are, which is watching Bill Cosby leave the courtroom.
Uh-huh. And feeling bad?
Was beautiful.
It was a beautiful sight. I agree with you. I didn't feel bad.
And it's one of the weird situations where you go, oh, you sort of feel bad for a guy that's going to jail. Not 1%.
No.
So happy to see that.
He's a violent sex predator.
Mm-hmm.
Which is different than a regular sex
offender. It's like the worst kind.
Yes.
It's a step worse than sex offender.
Yeah. You're like, you have to like alert all your neighbors when you get out. Like, right. This is one, he has like the worst possible scenario.
Yeah, he has to register as a sexual offender should he get out in 3 years.
Right.
For the rest of his life, he'll have to be registered.
Now, does that limit where he can live?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Limits where he can can't live by schools. It will limit travel as well.
Yeah.
There are certain countries, they see something like that on your record, they're like, nope.
3 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the chances he serves 10?
They're saying 18 months is like they think that's
sort
where
of
it goes.
What it's going
to
be.
But who knows? His mugshot had a real drama feel to it, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, it was weird to see a man in suspenders in a mugshot. I don't think I've seen that.
That was odd.
It was like a very special Cosby Mysteries.
Yeah. I feel like he was looking down to show. Sad that I'm going to jail, and I'm also blind.
I don't know where to look.
Yeah. Remember, I'm blind. Sad.
Did you hear the publicist outside the courthouse?
No.
Despicable.
It was bad news.
It's the most racist, misogynistic.
It's the same thing that's happening to Kavanaugh. It's this. This has been a setup since day one. There's manipulated tapes. I was just like, what are we? Well, what? There's 60 women, sir.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, are we going to go through each one here at this press conference? Like,
yeah.
What is happening?
I did, though, enjoy the rain just pelting his face as he was talking. I was like, you deserve to be rained on and miserable right
God's
now, sir.
God's tears, sir.
Yes.
God is crying for
it's
the victims.
It's just a weird thing to be so happy and joyful about a guy going to jail.
Yeah,
it works that way.
It was a long time coming.
Yeah.
So is there any way he could serve 10 years? Is it maybe just horrible behavior there causing trouble in jail? Or
I feel like this...
when they say 3 to 10 years, it means nothing.
It means nothing, but he'll be up for parole. I know that no bail or anything was granted at all.
No.
So
and they said, could he stay at his house during the appeal? And
absolutely not. You
are going to jail.
Did you read the story that his first meal had pudding in it?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah.
For sure.
It was like a news story. It wasn't like, it wasn't someone's funny tweet.
They weren't putting us on.
No.
It was,
he had pudding.
File that, would you?
All right. He had pudding.
That seems just like it's too good to be true.
Yeah.
Too good to be true. Not only the pudding, but the headlines. J-Lo. It's like, yep, see, because Jell-O. See?
Oh, yeah.
I guess I.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
On a real roll.
You love that a little bit too much?
Maybe we aren't as good as Rodney.
Let me honk over here.
Can I tell you something that happened weird yesterday? I am moving, as we went over a little bit, and we had an alarm specialist come to the house. Mm-hmm. And this is the third alarm specialist that we've had come give us an estimate. If you don't know, alarm systems, kind of a racket.
Right.
Oh, sure.
The whole security thing is a real money gouge. This is the third time that someone who's come to try to give me sort of a... display a demo of the security cameras, pulls out his phone and goes, let me show you how good these cameras are. And then he goes to the app and I see that he has 7 to 10 properties on his phone, and he clicks like Beverly Drive, clicks it.
So you're looking at people's homes.
Yeah. What?
By the way, it's the third time it's happened. This wasn't one time. And so each time they don't go, oh, I'm allowed to show you this or anything.
Right.
And then yesterday... the guy goes, let me show you this one. This is a hospital. And he clicks the thing. He clicks the thing, and it's outside of a hospital, and he shows me that. And he goes, look how good the cameras are. And he's zooming in. He goes, here's the outside. Here's the parking lot. Here's the waiting room. And then he shows me the waiting room, and he zooms in on the waiting room.
No.
How is that legal?
I feel like that's a three different HIPAA law.
Three different companies.
Three different people. They're basically all like independent contractors for one company.
Right.
I don't know how that works because it's all a racket.
Yeah.
But basically, they all represent this one big company.
Uh-huh.
But you can get different prices from all of them. They have all come to the house and shown me
Stuff they shouldn't show you.
I don't know. Are they not? I don't know. But by the way, it's not just one house. Like, here's my house. Check it out. They have many on there.
Yeah.
One, I'm not going to say last names, but one was just a last name. He showed me that. And then the hospital with the waiting room.
That's so weird.
I would feel a lot better if, A, the hospital wasn't shown at all. But if he said before he showed you the house,
I'm allowed to
show you this. We have an okay from them, blah, blah, blah.
But even if he said that,
he could be
there
lying.
Are 7 to 10
yes.
other ones
That's
in
insane.
His in his phone.
Don't like it.
Wouldn't it have been funny if he showed you that and it was Allie decorating for Halloween?
No.
Or beer mug just at home drinking.
Right.
Just hand in his
underwear on the couch.
Yeah,
watching Netflix.
Weird.
Anyway,
yeah, that's bizarre.
I'm warning you, if you have an alarm system, I may have seen your house this week.
Goodness.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
On the program today, we got comedian Jim Gaffigan.
The funniest.
Love
him. We have Cypress Hill, and this time we mean it.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding around this time.
All right.
We're going to honk Cypress Hill.
All right.
Today.
Honking the hell out of him.
Sounds good.
We're also going to talk to Melissa Carbone, who is the head of the Haunted Hayride.
I got some questions for her.
Which Jensen has many questions
for. Yeah, you were scarred.
I've had two experiences there, both odd.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. David Arquette, what's up on today's show?
Yeah, what's up with David Arquette?
And also Venom. We've got your K-Rock Advance screening tickets for Venom this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
What is it? The kid that cried wolf? The kid that cried wolf? Is that the saying?
Yeah, that works.
Not that we're that, but I mean, Cypress Hill's going to be on the show today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, we said that yesterday, but yesterday we were just lying.
But we were confident as hell.
Right.
We were like, can't wait for Cypress Hill.
Yep.
We were thrilled.
We sure were.
But then.
Then that didn't.
That's such a big liar.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Today, there's no lying.
No lying. But I do like that we were so confident that the biggest stoner rap group of all time we thought was going to be like perfectly on schedule, which is insane.
That's on us.
For
sure. It is on us. It is on us.
All right. It's 5:54. Time for What's Happening. Here's Allie.
You know when a celebrity is told most likely by their management, got to get on social media, you got to at least make some posts. I know you don't want to. Just do it for a bit. See how it feels.
Right.
And that celebrity's like, ugh, whatever. So they'll maybe do one or two, like, movie premiere coming up, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Will Smith, who recently got on social media and now... is out of control.
He's been doing a lot. Let's just say it.
Chill out, Will Smith.
If you could. Yesterday was his 50th birthday, so he accepted a challenge from YouTube star Yes Theory to do a hella bungee jump. Yes, that is jumping out of a helicopter with bungee cords, and not just anywhere, not just like over the skies and, you know, Reseda. No, he was doing it above the Grand Canyon.
I do like bungee jumping in Reseda, though.
Yeah.
It is very
it's
safe.
Good. It's a great band, too.
Can I also say that when you're 50 years old, you shouldn't be communicating with someone named Yes Theory on YouTube?
100%. Like absolutely.
Seems like it should be illegal, actually.
Yes. I will say this. He did use his platform to raise funds for an education charity called Global Citizen. That's wonderful. So people could bid and then, I guess, go and watch the jump from the ground, I hope. But it's interesting because he has on his staff a photographer, a filmer, an editor, everyone that puts these together. You were saying he has like a writer's room.
Yes. I feel like that is inside information, but there is a writer's room that is running for Will Smith's social media as if it's its own show.
I mean, that makes sense, if you're Will.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, just
if you're
like,
Will Smith and you want to stand out like above everybody else, I don't know.
I just think it's weird that he wants to conquer this.
Yeah.
I feel like it is such a step down for Will Smith to be like, I'm going to put up a Throwback Thursday and I'm going to put up a thirst trap. It's just like, dude, you're Will Smith, man. Like, calm down. Like, you have completely reinvented hip hop and acting and all these things, and yet now you want to take on garbage social media?
Yeah, it's a bit odd. I did watch a few of his videos, though, yesterday, and I gotta say, him harassing his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, in their home as she's like wearing slippers and a robe, highly watchable.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Absolutely.
Hey, who hosted the bungee jumps feed?
I didn't know anyone hosted it.
Yeah, I'm reading it. Did you know that Alfonso Ribeiro hosted it?
Carlton?
What?
Yeah, they're saying, yeah. He was one of the hosts. He was there alongside Jada Pinkett Smith and his three kids, Carlton from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. This is so weird, man. Yeah. Does Will Smith have a normal life? Is he friends with anyone that won't be like a bit?
No. It is weird. It is weird. And I wonder which aunt was there.
They got Viv and they traded out twice.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually one of them hates him.
Yes.
The first one hates his guts. Yeah, it's the second one that would be fine with him.
Yeah.
Unless one of them was like messing with the bungee.
Right.
That was the first Aunt Viv.
Go ahead,
Will. Happy birthday.
It's got real dark, guys. Well, Dancing with the Stars, season 27, they just had their second evening of their two-night premiere, and they have let go of their first cast member.
Okay.
I have no reason to watch anymore. No.
Oh, really?
Nikki Glaser is gone.
Oh, wow. She's gone the first one.
Yes. That was me reading that this morning. Yeah, she had mentioned she has never danced before.
Right.
And she hasn't. But I didn't think she was that bad. But apparently she just didn't have the votes.
No!
Real sad. She said, you know, it sucks. I'm not going to lie. I really, really like doing the show and I had such a great time. I hope that I just proved that I did the scariest thing I've done. I tried my best. It was fun.
I like that. That sounds
earnest for Nikki Glaser.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Really does. No, she said the whole time, all I want to accomplish from this is just getting out there and doing it. I'm afraid of it. If I could just do it, that's huge for me.
Yeah.
And it was. So.
I enjoy Nikki. She's a good person, very funny.
Absolutely.
I'm bummed she only went 1 week. That would have been fun. And she only gets paid. You get paid by the week.
I did see a clip of one of the judges was like losing it, giving her score, and like he was really animated. And she basically alluded to the fact that she's like, you just did more in judging me than I just did on the floor. It was very funny. So, yeah, I guess you can keep watching. If you care about any of the other people.
Sure.
I don't. I only cared about Nikki Glaser.
Yeah.
It's over. It's like when Kareem was on the other time.
It's all I cared about.
Yeah.
Why watch after that?
Yep.
Kareem, a writer on a Veronica Mars reboot. That's
of
what
course.
You mean. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar hired in the writer's room for Veronica Mars. He's a normal TV writer now.
Yep.
That's insane.
That is weird. Just everybody be sitting around and he walks.
Yeah, everyone's like, I got an idea. I have an idea. And the other guy's like, I'm the highest scoring NBA player of all time.
Here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I love it. Some birthdays for you. Serena Williams, Olivia Newton-John, Linda Hamilton, and James Caviezel. He's
Jesus.
He's Jesus.
Oh, good timing.
Yeah.
Wow. Good hit.
And that's what's happening.
On the way, we got your tickets for an advanced screening of Venom later this hour. And then Jim Gaffigan will join us in about an hour.
here on the world famous K-Rock. Let's talk David Arquette.
Let's.
What is happening with him? Why?
Full disclosure, David Arquette, sort of a pal.
Okay.
So I'll have some inside info here.
All right.
But yes, there's some wonky stuff going on in the world of David Arquette.
Okay, and it somehow started around the Wendy Williams times.
How you doing?
How all good things start. Mm.
So David Arquette goes on Wendy Williams.
Yeah.
To make this big announcement because you know what a huge wrestling fan she is.
Yeah. She actually tag teamed with Macho Man Savage in the early 80s.
So give us the history of him being in the movie and then him winning the title and all that.
David Arquette was in an Oscar-winning movie called Ready to Rumble. and it was a movie that involved him becoming a professional wrestler and starred like people like Diamond Dallas Page and Hulk Hogan and Goldberg and all these kind of like 90s, 2000s WCW names, right? And it's not a good movie.
No, it's a bad movie.
Scott Kahn's in it. I mean, that's usually a sign. The movie comes out, and it has something to do with WCW, which at the time was like a Turner Broadcasting wrestling show. And so to promote the film, they made David Arquette the world champion of actual WCW.
He got in the ring and fought and won the championship.
Okay. Without any wrestling experience, right. They basically allowed a fan to win the championship title.
Okay.
Which is a big,
and everybody was thrilled?
No. nerds around the universe freaked out. Wrestling enthusiasts and traditionalists were like, how could that happen? And since then, he's become a punchline in wrestling forever. So for like, you know, it's just sort of like the lowest benchmark for being a champion or for bad wrestling. You know, like next thing you know, they're going to make David Arquette champ. Like that's like a thing that became. So David, over the years, became offended by this punchline. And
how long has it been? Like 20 years?
Yeah. And has decided 20 years later, at his age, to now become a pro wrestler in a legit way.
Wow.
So that means that he's training every single day. He's lost like 30 pounds. He goes to like Poughkeepsie, New York to wrestle in front of, you know, like 150 people.
What? Why is he going that small if he was a champion at one point?
Well, in order to...
Is this paying his dues?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. This is catching the lumps. This is basically going out there and doing it the way that anyone would have done it. And he's donating any dollars that he gets to charity from wrestling. And he really is just trying to do this for redemption for himself and to go out there and sort of fight the trolls.
You don't think this is just another I need to for people to pay attention to me again?
Well, he's doing it the wrong way. It's like we're one of the only people reporting it. like it's really just about going, I mean, I guess, but you could probably go straight to TV or try to get as, you know, busy as you can and with the biggest outlets. But no, he's doing things called like Northeastern Wrestling Region.
What
like
the
things
hell?
That are like in the middle of nowhere and don't get televised and aren't videoed even.
So at 47 years old, he's like, you know what? I'm going to show them.
Yeah.
I did those Scream movies. That's behind me.
Yeah.
My future is wrestling.
Yeah.
Do you think he just doesn't want to stay home?
I mean, that could be a...
Could he just not be into his wife and kids?
He's like, what could I get into the travels? I could become a jewel thief. But then he's like, I'm going to be a wrestler.
And here's him really defending it.
I just started working out because I have a really big announcement to make, and I'd like to make it here on the Wendy Williams show. Yes,
all right, go ahead.
I'd like to announce my return to professional wrestling.
Do they pump those audiences full of drugs? What do they do? Because that audience doesn't care 1% about him going back into wrestling.
Are you on meth? Come on and watch Wendy Williams.
And you think, this is a gimmick I'm trying out, David Magic Man Arquette.
Wait, David.
Yes?
Return to...
Yes, I know.
What were you involved with wrestling?
Well, 18 years ago, I won the WCW Heavyweight Championship belt.
Now, do you think he really believes he won it? I mean, I know that he won it, but he knows they gave it to him.
Well, David's whole thing is he's into weird stuff. He's sort of like a niche guy. He loves puppetry. He's a big ventriloquist puppet guy. He loves
same.
He has all clown art in his house. He's like a...
He's a weirdo.
He's a weirdo. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like a human clown.
All right.
And okay. So, like, he likes these kind of vaudeville... I mean, he's from a vaudevillian family. Yeah. You know, and so I think he relates to the traveling man show, the Catskills performer. And I think that he is living the gimmick, one would say.
Unbelievable.
And everyone freaked out. I was promoting a movie I did called Ready to Rumble, and it just happened that
no
I
one
won
applauded
the championship. But for 18 years, I've been trolled on the internet, and people have attacked me.
But here's the thing: 18 years ago, you were younger. Now you're 46. You got gray hair. You got kids to take care of.
I know, but I've been working out. I've been training. I've got a.
But you're still
amazing...
46.
I know.
David.
I know.
What are you doing?
I mean,
that was her next question.
When Wendy Williams is the voice of reason, we all have issues.
We have Cypress Hill coming in the next hour.
Woo!
And comedian Jim Gaffigan just after 7
also,
o'clock.
Also, woo!
Jensen Karp is in for being on vacation.
Yes.
Jensen, what's this TV show you're telling us about?
Guys.
We have to watch it, right?
This isn't a get up on. I'll be doing that tomorrow. This is almost the exact opposite, which is like get up on, but don't tell anyone you're into it. this is a TV show that I have found myself loving, and I have to share it with you guys because it is quite the guilty pleasure.
Okay.
It's called 100% Hotter. It's like if Queer Eye was hosted by high school bullies.
Oh, no.
Like, it's like the opposite of, like, you know how you love the people from Queer Eye?
So this isn't feel good?
Oh, I mean, it's kind of feel good if you're also, like, garbage.
Oh,
you know what
no
I mean? Like, the judges in the Queer Eye way are three people, a stylist, a hairdresser, and a makeup artist, who I believe have no worldwide fame. They're just three people they found that have those jobs.
Okay.
And the whole concept is they are, it's a make-under show.
A make-under show.
Basically, huh, they take human messes, disasters, people with very low self-awareness. So, like, people you would see on the street and be like, oh, boy. Like, you know, like, for example, one of them is like a big Barbie Anna Nicole looking person who looks like she was sort of seasoned with curry. Her tan is so bad. Like,
okay.
Then there's like this goth girl who like uses it's all people you would see on the street and be like, this person's a real
too much,
but, like a car crash.
But they don't think they're a car crash.
The exact opposite.
Oh, they think, okay.
These people are well adjusted, actually. They love the way they look.
Okay.
They have absolutely no problems with the way they look, and they don't nominate themselves for this make under.
Oh.
They're nominated by family or friends.
Oh, that's nice for your family to turn you into a show like this.
It's an ambush.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so what they do is they bring you in to this sort of room with the three experts, quote unquote, air quotes I'm giving you, and remember, they're not doing this voluntarily.
Right.
They're brought into a room and they're told, hey, you need to change your look because this is a terrible thing. And when they walk in, the three judges look at them in the way that people look at, like, the Hindenburg footage. Like, it's like, ah! Like, they're like, and the people are like, what? Like, they don't even know what's wrong. Like, what are you doing that about me? And then it's so offensive. The first thing they do is they say, well, you know what? Let's play the clip, because what it is, they go, we're going to go around the country and show people your photo and allow them to rate you 1 to 10.
Oh, no.
Go
so
ahead.
We've gone around the country asking people to rate your look based on your picture.
Oh, my God.
We've got a little video you're going to watch.
Okay.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Wow. I'm not keen on the whole eyebrow situation. I feel like that's a little bit intense.
The fake tan, she looks muddy.
Muddy.
Wow. Oh, my God.
She looks like she's been in a bath of gravy.
Her tan is horrible. It's so orange.
Is she real?
I'd probably rate her a 2 out of 10.
1 for me.
Yeah, 1.
1 out of 10.
But that's not even the number. That's not even on the scale. That's a 0. That's bad.
Wow, Jade.
Oh
my God.
That was a little bit painful to hear him.
Yeah.
How do you feel now?
I feel a bit flat.
I feel a little upset too.
Yeah.
We've added up all the results of the people that we spoke to, and we have an average, and that average was less than 2 out of 10.
Oh my god.
The good thing is, it gives us so much to work with.
Yeah. This is like worldwide shaming.
Yeah.
It is insane.
It's like the news people that are in front of a burned down house and they're like, how do you feel your whole family's
right,
dead?
How many
right.
photos were inside?
Oh,
it's the worst
that's
kind.
That's insane. But and also, these people are happy with themselves. Why make them unhappy with themselves?
Agree.
I don't know.
Why are you bringing us this mean crap?
I'm telling you, it's weirdly addictive.
Where is it? Is it England?
It's on Netflix now.
Okay.
And then they send the people out in the streets in shirts that say work in progress.
Oh, man.
They go around and do different things for this make under. One of the things they do is they send someone to a paint store. The woman you just heard who has a terrible tan. She does look terrible.
Right.
She looks dipped in gravy.
Yeah.
She really does look awful. And so they bring her into a paint store and then strangers decide what Pantone color her skin is. Then there's another person named Jade. This is the goth girl. They send her to a factory, and they, out of nowhere, force her to shred her clothes. That's the second clip.
Oh, my God.
Maisie, we know that you're a fishnet fanatic, but we think it's time for a change. So, to kickstart your new wardrobe, we are challenging you to trash some of your favorite outfits. However, rather than throwing them in the bin, you will be throwing them into our industrial shredder.
Oh, my God, I've got to shred my own clothes. Oh, my God. That's mad. That is absolutely mad.
And so she then has no wardrobe.
Wow. It doesn't sound... Well, the first person sounded a little bit sad. She didn't sound sad.
But it's also... I will say when you're watching it, they might not sound sad, but they're also kind of uncomfortably laughing.
Like they're playing along
awkward.
With something they don't want to play
along
with.
They realize they're on TV and they don't want to look extra bad.
Yeah. Right.
These are people that were fine with how they looked, feeling okay about themselves, maybe even good. And now their hopes are dashed.
Yeah, and also
by strangers.
Yeah, and the strangers and the judges are always sort of like, yeah, I think she looks like she's in gravy. And then they'll cut back to the girl and she'll be like, well, my boyfriend says he kind of likes it. And I'm like, oh, she has a boyfriend. Like, their lives seem fine. Like, they seem totally fine. At the end of the show, obviously, after a big make-under, mm-hmm. I will go on record as saying this girl, the gravy girl, mm-hmm. did look incredible. She really did. Mm-hmm. They did a great job making her over. So what they do is they bring her out.
Gravy girl happy with the way she looked?
Well, that's what we're going to listen to in this clip. Because I think she should be happy because she does look great. And she's very much minimal and it looks really good.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she's fully happy.
Are you ready to have a look at what you look like?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh my God. I look really different.
How do you feel?
I'm really sharp.
Let's have a look.
Like it. Yeah.
It's a big change.
Yeah.
She hates it. She hates it.
Well, she liked the way she looked before.
She couldn't hate it more. That's what we need right now is a TV show to go out and find strangers who are happy with their lives and talk them right out of it.
I mean, and then they go back around. We don't need to hear the clip, but basically they go back around and it's like, what do you think now? She scores like a 9.5. Now,
they take her picture out afterwards?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
She scores like a 9.5 and she deserves it. She looks great. But the funny part is at the end of each show, they give you a 4-second update. Of what the people do.
They go back to
what? Always!
Yeah.
They always go back. They show Gravy Girl, and she's back to being in gravy. The only thing she's done is fixed her hair because she uses clip-on extensions and bleach mm-hmm. and has bald spots throughout her head. So now, instead of using bleach and blonde, she's now brunette. But she looks like she's in gravy again.
But is she happy?
Well, we're dating now. I'm engaged. The name of the show is 100% Hotter. And boy, oh boy, if I could send you anywhere to feel bad about yourself for loving something, it's time for 100% Hotter in your life.
All right, let's open up the phone lines right now. 1-800-520-1067. We're giving away tickets to a K-Rock premiere advanced screening of Venom. Which I cannot wait for.
Yeah.
Giving that away
wonderful.
Next.
Was that timed because I exposed you guys to so much venom on television?
I mean, it's possible. It is possible. So 1-800-520-1067 is the number. You're going to have to play a game, and we'll do it next. We have tickets for Venom for a K-Rock advanced screening of that.
Mm-hmm.
How did we get to this game?
Well, we were struggling a bit with what to do for another Venom game, and somebody said...
Oh,
well,
that's
what...
me. I'm a genius.
Was it you?
Yep.
What did you say?
Well, I said, isn't Venom like a host virus for Spider-Man? And then everyone went, yeah. Then I said... We should do a game about hosts.
Yes, because Venom needs a host, usually a human, for its survival.
So then most of us said, no, that's a bad idea. Let's come up with a better one. Uh-huh. And then we couldn't.
Right.
So now this is the one that we're
because
going with.
Because I am sort of something you settle on.
And that's how we came up with the host with the most.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Host with the Most. It's the only game where you could win advanced screening tickets to see Venom. All you have to do is know that host with the most. Now, let's meet your hostess with the mostest. Let's give it up for Allie McKay.
Thank you so much. Here's the thing. I am going to read you a description of a host and play you a clip. You're going to want to listen to the whole description and the clip. Don't be like, oh, I know the answer, and yell it out. Because guess what? You're going to be wrong.
I'll flip it on you.
And
flip it on you.
It's going to be ugly, and I want you to win these tickets, you guys.
All right. Let's start with Christian in Los Angeles. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Tim.
Hey, Christian. All right. Who is this host? This man was the host of The Price is Right from 1972 to 2007. That's 35 years. He's an animal rights advocate, signing off each show telling us to get our pets spayed and neutered. He also got in a fist fight with Adam Sandler in Happy Gilmore.
Price is wrong, bitch.
Now you've had enough, bitch.
Who is this host?
Bob Barker?
Hey! It is, yes. Bob Barker.
Nicely
congratulations.
Done. All right, you hold on. Let's go to Hugo in West Covina. Good morning, Hugo.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Hugo. All right, this host is a rapper, actor, and most recent, he's the co-host of TBS's Drop the Mic. In 1996, he won a Grammy for Best Rap Performance by a Duo or Group for this song, featuring R&B singer Mary J. Blige.
You be my wedge, I'm your best star. You my missus, with hugs and kisses, Valentine cards and birthday wishes. Please be on another level of planning, of understanding.
Bond between man, woman, and child.
His real name is Clifford Smith. You may know him better by this name. Who is this host?
This really stinks.
This hurts you, right?
This really hurts.
Yeah, I'm feeling it already. I don't know who that is.
All it's right. M-E-T-H-O-D, man.
I hired him.
Sorry about that.
This is very rough.
By the way, I forgot to mention at the beginning that we have 5 pair of tickets to give away, so everybody that gets it right wins.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Rick in Lakewood. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, Rick. This gorgeous Canadian-American host has hosted Jeopardy since 1984. Some find him smug, you know, because he has all the answers right in front of him, yet he still acts better than you, mostly because he is. I see him as one of the greatest men to walk the face of the earth, and he sometimes raps whole categories.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch, Young Money Militia, and I am the commissioner. You don't want to start wheezy because the F is for finisher.
I mean,
who
come on.
Is this host? And you can phrase it in the form of a question.
Who is Alex Trebek?
Oh, yes.
Nicely
well
done.
Well done.
He paused for a second. I was like,
I was
what?
A little nervous. Yeah. A little nervous.
All right.
The question threw me off. It's hard to answer as a question.
I understand, but you
My
did
English
great.
Teacher's getting so
excuse
upset
me. I'm sorry. She's the host with the most.
I am, but you did great, Rick. Okay. But a little combative.
Yeah.
You hold on.
Is that Ken Jennings?
All right. Let's go to Art in Ontario. Good morning, Art.
Hello, Art. All right. This man.
Nice reference.
This man was the original host of Wheel of Fortune from 1975 to 1981, then the host of the original incarnation of Love Connection. Nowadays, he's busy owning the libs on Twitter.com. He's probably best known for his catchphrase that he said when Love Connection would go out to commercial break.
And we'll hear how this date went. We'll do that in 2 and 2.
2 and 2. You know that
two
is
and
our...
Two?
That was just his little catchphrase before they went to a commercial break.
Yeah, I think it would be, I don't know, Andy Cohen.
Oh, he was actually the host of Love Connection, the new one. But this is Chuck Woolery. Sorry about that.
Chuck Woolery.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Art. All right. Let's go to Michael in El Segundo. Hi.
Good morning.
Hey, Michael. All right. There's no clip for this, but this man was actually a local weatherman here in L.A. at KNBC. He has hosted Wheel of Fortune since 1981 and is set to make $12 million a year, working a couple months. What's this host's name?
It's Pat.
Yes.
Pat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Pat.
Pat
Riley. Oh, no. It is not Pat.
No, it's...
He's also tweeted some owning the lib stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, for
Game
sure.
Game show host, mm-hmm. Real conservative.
Yeah, who knew?
All right, we have time for one more. Let's make it Jamie in Montebello. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Is it Jaime?
Jaime?
Yeah, it's Jaime.
Okay.
All right. He's well known here in Southern California as the host of the Tournament of Roses Parade. He did that from 1976 to 2016. He was also the host of the Newlywed Game, which had one of the funniest and most risque answers of its time. He often referred to sex as making whoopee. Here he is describing arguably one of the most unforgettable answers in game show history.
An urban legend went out there that said... I said, where's the strangest, most unusual place you've ever made whoopee? And the lady was supposed to have said, well, that would be in the butt, Bob.
He actually told that story, didn't say in the butt, Bob. She said a bad word.
Oh.
It's good stuff. Who is that host?
I have no idea. Is that Chuck Holden?
I don't know who that is, but no, it's Bob Eubanks.
Hmm.
No.
All right, do we want to go
let's
one more?
One more.
I don't want to go out on a loss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's say good morning to Robert in Hacienda Heights. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, everyone. Good
hey,
morning,
Robert.
Bong.
I feel good about you. This guy is a radio host, talk show host, comedian, and has hosted Family Feud since 2010. He's also known for possibly one of the cringiest screw-ups in television history. In 2015, he hosted the Miss Universe pageant and kind of screwed up the winner.
I have to apologize. The first runner-up is Columbia. Miss Universe 2015 is Philippines.
Yeah, they had to take her crown off and give it to
the
other
girl. Announced another winner.
Still the best.
Oh. Who is that host?
Well, I have to apologize. The first runner-up is Steve Harvey.
Yes. Well done, you guys. Well, congratulations. You're all going to go and see the Venom K-Rock Advance screening at the AMC Burbank 16 on October 3rd. This has been Host with the Most.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54. Coming up just after 7 o'clock, comedian Jim Gaffigan.
Love him.
A genius.
Allie may love him too much.
Yeah.
He's very funny.
Yeah. I told him when he was here, he was on my top 5 list of men.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Concerning.
Right?
Yeah. Mostly to him.
And then, no wonder he's calling in.
And then Cypress Hill as well, coming up at the 7 o'clock hour. Very excited about that.
Excellent.
Right now, Allie is here with What's Happening.
Do you remember on Monday morning when I did the story about Childish Gambino show on Sunday nights?
This is the best.
Yeah. He was doing a show in Dallas, and he left the show 30 minutes early. Nobody really could tell why. Some people in the audience said it looked like he'd strained something. He was going down doing the splits, not sure. Then other people said, no, it looked like he messed up his leg or his foot doing a dance move, like stepped on it wrong.
Okay.
Well, long story short, I had said, well, he's playing at the Forum on Wednesday. That's tonight, you guys.
And you have tickets.
Of course.
Yeah.
Been looking forward to this for months. And I said, but in true Alley fashion, it'll probably be canceled or postponed because that's what happens to me.
Yeah.
I look forward to something and ultimately it doesn't happen. Adele, her last show at Wembley, found out it wasn't happening as I was headed to the airport to fly to London.
Hmm.
Not a big deal.
No.
It was her voice. She can't help it. I didn't take it personal until Tears for Fears canceled and then I took it personal, but then they made it up, so I felt better. But I thought, this can't happen
three
it?
Times.
No.
Honestly, I don't think, and I've seen I've been lucky enough to see a lot of shows.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had three canceled.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've ever had any canceled.
Right?
Well,
so that's why it's so weird for Allie.
Yeah.
So yesterday afternoon, the Forum tweeted, Tomorrow's, meaning today, Childish Gambino show at the Forum has been postponed. Tickets will be valid at the newly scheduled date when announced. Thank you.
Underneath it said, ha ha, Ally McKay.
Suck it, McKay. It's unclear how many shows he will sit out because he has a show next Wednesday at the Forum as well. And I'm just going to say right now, I debated which show I should get tickets for. And I'm like, you know what? Just get the first show. No big deal.
Right, sure.
So we don't know if that show is postponed. I looked at the Forum website. It's still on there.
But I assume they already sold all those tickets for that night, so it's not like you can go
down. Oh, no, I can't transfer them over. No, no. Gotcha. I'm just saying it still looks like that one is on for now. He's booked for 11 more dates. He's supposed to wrap up October 12th. But again, this is him saying this is the final Childish Gambino tour. So
yeah,
you
he's
don't...
just going to change the name.
Yeah, he'll just be
he's
like...
a corny, stupid, immature name. And that's coming from a guy who was named Hot Carl.
What? Hot
so,
Carl?
Yeah, yeah. But I would have done the same thing. I would have been like, this is it.
Yeah.
Because you got to get rid of that name now.
Yeah.
Sure.
What's he going to be, do you think?
Adult Gambino.
Adult adjacent Gambino. I like it. So stay tuned to find out if any more shows
are
canceled. I might be. Yep. Yeah.
You're a curse.
And to make matters worse, Dunkin' Donuts, dropping the donuts in their name. They had tried this out at about 50 locations throughout the U.S., and people, strangely, were very upset.
Really?
Yeah, because they just changed it to Dunkin'.
But they still serve donuts?
Still serve
Why
donuts.
Why is anyone
just
upset?
Not in the name.
How can one person be upset?
Not sure.
Disappointed!
Is it because they're trying to focus on their coffee and it's like IHOB?
It's not as bad as like making it about something that's not really what it's about, but Dunkin' is known for their coffee.
Yeah.
That's just like kind of the thing.
Right.
The world runs on Dunkin',
right?
It's the catchphrase. They're not talking about running on the donuts. They're talking about the coffee.
Dunkin' is fine. Everybody knows that means coffee and donuts.
Right.
But do you know how much money gets put into decisions like this?
Like,
it has to be millions.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's important enough to take out donuts when everyone knows it is Dunkin' Donuts.
Right. True. Yeah, the rebranding is going to cost so much money. Just signs, everything.
Yeah.
It's going to cost a ton. But they're doing it, you guys. So, Dunkin'.
Gotcha. I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
I think I'll be okay.
It's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. My family calls it Dunkies.
All right. Well, your family.
Is your family in marketing for Dunkin'?
What's up? You want some Dunkies? Yeah. Good times. Not right now, Sully.
Like
I'm good.
Dunkies right there.
Dunkies?
Sounded like you said
Dunkies. Dunkies.
You want some doggies?
Oh, I don't like any of this. They got to go back to Dunkin' Donuts, right?
Now you care.
None of it is clear. You guys, yesterday, Netflix announced part two of its popular true crime docuseries, Making a Murderer, premiering on October 19th. Kevin, you didn't watch the first one, did you?
I don't think I did, no. I watched part of it, but I didn't watch the whole thing.
I did.
Yeah.
I did, yeah.
I was obsessed. I was one of those people. Yeah. If you don't know about it, it was a 10-episode run. Chronicled the 2006 murder convictions of this man, Stephen Avery, and his nephew, Brendan Dassey, for the death of a photographer, Teresa Hallback, in Wisconsin. And it was stunning.
It's done really well because it does that great thing that good docs do where you go in and out of your decisions. Where you one episode, you're like, this absolutely happened.
So not guilty.
And the next one, you're like, you know what? I'm going to go march for him on Washington.
Absolutely. Like
everything changes.
Well, Stephen Avery has maintained his innocence, and the show, this one, explores whether he'd be wrongfully convicted of a crime for the second time. So we will soon find out what that's all about. Some birthdays for you. Linda Hamilton. Remember how jacked she was in the Terminator?
Great. Oh, yeah.
And everyone's like, going to gyms, give me those arms.
She's back,
not
right?
Not that easy.
I think I saw a picture of her. She's buff again.
Well, I think it's just her.
Oh, never mind.
Maybe.
All right.
I think that's just like her genetic makeup.
Hmm.
Or she works out really hard,
sure,
Allie, and don't take that away from her.
I would assume that's true.
Okay. Plus, James Caviezel, who loves Jesus. He was Jesus. And Olivia Newton-John and Serena Williams. He was Jesus in a movie.
Right.
That's what's happening.
Cypress Hill in 10 minutes.
All right.
Very excited about that. First, though, Jim Gaffigan joins us, one of our favorite comedians and actors. Good morning, Jim.
I'm very similar to Cypress Hill.
Are you? How exactly?
You know, we're both on during 7 a.m. on the Kevin and Bean show.
Right.
He has a point.
And...
that's enough.
And And we also, we shop at the same grocery store.
Do you? Oh, wow.
I don't know. Anyway.
Jim is calling.
How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. How are you?
I'm good. It's way too early.
I know. I'm sorry about that. All comedians that come on our show hate it just because of the time. It's just a horrible time for comedians to come on.
I also think this is a guy, you have like two movies premiering in the same weekend, right? I mean, this is, I feel like you're busy and you got to be waking up early some days.
I know. Yeah, no, that's the worst part of acting is waking up early. That's the worst part of parenting. That's the worst part about life is getting up early. Like, I think everything should just slide back to like noon.
Oh,
right?
I'd be so happy
you're
with that.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah, that would be so great.
But I am excited. I have two films that are at the Los Angeles Film Festival. One tonight in Culver City, and at the ArcLight, and one tomorrow night at the ArcLight in Santa Monica.
All right, movie
tonight
one.
Tonight is a comedy tomorrow.
Movie one. Tell us about You Can Choose Your Family.
You Can Choose Your Family is about a guy who. It's about a teenage boy. I don't play the teenage boy. But he discovers that his very strict father, played by me, has two families. And so he proceeds to blackmail. This is in the early 90s.
Son blackmails dad. Yeah, it's weird to think, even think that there was a time before the internet when your son could have done a million different things to get at you.
Right. I mean, no, it is. It's an absurd story, but it's obviously based on real life. And, you know, I spend the whole time. And then I think at the end, you kind of like my character, this scumbag who has two
I got news for you, Jim. Yeah, I will tell you this.
Ellie, what's your changing attitude on Jim?
I watched the movie. Jim, you're well aware that you're one of my favorite comics. I totally love that you're so in love with your wife. You're in love with your five kids. You're a family man. You're devout. I love all those things about you. It's a testament to your acting, because I hated you in this movie so much. It hurt me. I was like, no, Jim, although you're frank. And then at the end, I was like, you know what? I don't know how I'm supposed to feel. I don't get it. Is there redemption for this man? I'm not sure.
Big question
and
mark.
I'm still struggling with it, Jim. I'm still struggling.
Yeah, well, that is a compliment, and I appreciate it. No, it is very strange, because obviously on paper, a guy having two families is a monster.
Right.
And so, but like, if you thought you hated me in that movie, in the other one, American Dreamer, I play this guy who kind of goes off the rails. That's the one where, that's the movie where I really kind of have fun playing to it. I don't know. Did you see that one?
We weren't given that one. No, now I want to. Are you awful in it? You're a horrible human?
Well, I play an Uber-like driver, a guy who's like kind of had some bad luck. He's separated from his wife, and he can't see his kid and all this stuff. And so he just kind of slowly goes off the rails. I don't want to give anything away, but it gets really dark. It's one of those. They did a clip on Deadline yesterday, but it's pretty dark. It's one of those things where I'm like, I don't think I want my kids to see this one.
But you're fine with the You Can Choose Your Family, where you might have a second family.
I'm fine with this.
Yeah, that's how dark this one gets.
My kids did watch that one. My older kids, not my five-year-old. I'm not going to be like, watch this and be confused for the rest of the world. Yeah.
Jim puts it on and goes, this is a documentary.
Allie McKay does spend a tremendous time talking about how much she loves you, though, Jim.
I do.
So this is she's sort of thrown up in the air on this one.
Yeah. I'll be okay. I'm going to work through it.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, by the way,
just acting.
It is just acting.
Thank you, though.
I had to laugh, and I shouldn't laugh at this because it was serious for a little bit. Your features that you do on CBS Sunday Morning, You have angered.
Yeah, I know where this is going.
You have angered horse people, and you have angered beer people. And I had a friend that did a report on horse racing, and she made a joke out of it. Good Lord, she still gets tweets from horse people.
Oh, horse people
are
radical.
Relentless. Oh, and these were two really funny, you know, tongue-in-cheek stories that anyone with a semblance of a sense of humor would chuckle at.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
You made the horse people angry?
Unbelievable. I'm known for my edgy comedy, right? And so the whole thing is, it's like, I'm this observational comedian who kind of has a curmudgeonly kind of, you know, slightly misanthropic view of the world. And so I do these jokes. And so, I've done commentaries on massages. I've done commentaries on boats, all this stuff. Really kind of like innocent. It's just kind of like, you know, stuff complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that beer commentary.
The beer group, huh?
Essentially. Oh my gosh. Because the horse thing, that was kind of coordinated by some rich guy who was an owner.
Okay.
But the beer people, as a group, not all of them, but if you watch the segment, it's 2 minutes long. It's just kind of like, I say, I want beer that tastes like beer. And you'd think I was proposing to make beer illegal. Like, these craft brewery guys were like so up in arms, and I was like, but it's like a reflection on our culture. Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Like, if you're offended by Jim Gaffigan, you've got a problem.
That's on you.
That's an issue.
That's
right?
On you.
Oh,
that's crazy.
I mean, I feel like craft beer people are, you don't really want to be in an elevator with them. So it makes sense.
Oh, they're
like,
kind of beer snobs, right?
Yeah, snobs.
I mean, I didn't say that, but Jensen did.
I appreciate their passion for something, you know, they really care about it and all this. But like, and it happened with the horse people where like some of the comments were like, you're threatening our livelihood. And I'm like, are you kidding?
I also want to go on record.
Are you really serious?
Do horse people have livelihoods?
Like, oh, dear.
You know, a fat, balding guy, you know, complaining at 8 a.m. in the morning is affecting your livelihood. It's absurd.
It's absurd.
But, like, there's been many craft beer people that were, that had a great sense of humor about it. But it's just this small fraction. I think we just live in this age where people like to be upset.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I don't know.
Everybody's ready to pounce at whatever.
I'm sure you guys deal with it.
Yeah,
too.
We do. We get, anytime you make any kind of joke about anything, people get upset because that's sort of the way we walk around is just upset these days. So it's kind of it's kind of nutty. All right, Jim, we are running out of time, unfortunately. One of your movies is American Dreamer, and that is world premiering tomorrow, Thursday, at 7 p.m. at the Arclight Santa Monica. And then the other is You Can Choose Your Family, which is tonight at 9:30 at Arclight Culver City.
And I will be there, and I'll be naked at both.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you trying to talk people out of going?
Yeah, I know that's a good point. But I will be clothed.
Okay,
fully closed.
All right,
everyone bought tickets again.
Perfect,
Jim. I'm so excited about this Chris Morris thing you're doing. I know I'm throwing it in at the end of the interview, but I am. Is this going to be amazing as I think it is?
I mean, I you know, it's still top secret, and you know, out of respect for him, I'm not even supposed to say anything. But I was equally excited. So I don't know. I mean, it's a pretty obscure idea, so hopefully it'll work.
Love it.
All right, Jim. We always appreciate your time. Thanks for calling K-Rock.
Thanks, you guys.
You
really appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye now.
Who you trying to get crazy with this thing? Don't you know I'm loco?
right, Cypress Hill is here in the studio.
Oh, boy.
How about that?
Yes,
very excited. Hey, Sendog.
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Hey, B-Real, how are you?
Hello there.
Welcome. Welcome back.
Good to be back with you guys, man. It's been a while.
You guys have a new album for the first time in what?
Almost nine.
Almost nine years.
This one, we kind of sort of, you know, we kind of let it go longer than we should have. But we started working on this album about 3 years ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And, you know, this is when we were all home and we all had a little bit of time.
When did you finish recording your parts?
Sometime last year.
Because then don't you just leave it for Muggs to tinker with?
Yes, but in the 3 year span that we were working on the album, we started with a number of tracks, and then I pulled back because I had other projects going on, and Sendog was still working on the tracks with Muggs, and then Muggs got busy for a time with the, I don't want to say this wrong,
D.
Because then I'll get, you know, in some beef with people. The Antwerp.
Ah, sure.
Yeah, he was doing stuff with them, and
that's a weird group right there.
Yeah, they're pretty dope, though.
They really are.
As weird as it is, you know, they're pretty dope. I mean,
they seem,
you know,
pretty chill.
He just got
it's like guys you want to have over Thanksgiving
they
or
got
whatever.
Splashed out by Eminem just recently, but you know they're still, you know, kind of cool and interesting. But you know, he Muggs had spent time working with them, so it sort of took him away from working on the album and stuff like that. And then Sendog eventually got busy with Power Flow too. Mm-hmm. So all of us were, you know, combined working on different stuff. And when we would have pockets of time, we'd go back and, you know, do tracks or fix tracks or maybe work on some new ones.
What does it look like when you start an album? Do you lay down a beat and then you...
It's a blank canvas.
Who writes it when?
It's a blank canvas. When we got to the studio this time, the first day, I remember, we didn't do much but watch like Black Sabbath videos and smoke
That was
weed.
Your first day?
Yeah.
That was your first day.
That's crazy. Yeah. I've been doing that since I was 15, and I'm not Cypress Hill.
Right?
I didn't get the same presentation you did.
No, then, you know, it was a big tray of, you know, the greenery. And
sure.
I guess we must have gone through that by the time you got there. But, it, you know, just to set the vibe, you know, place of Sabbath or Zeppelin.
I swear
or
to God,
crazy.
If I had that kind of time in a studio and you could, I would never work on an album.
Well, you know, the thing is, that was Muggs' studio. He owns that studio. So he kind of just wanted to give us the vibe on where, you know, he saw us taking this album, you know, visually and, you know, with the sound and stuff like that. He wanted to take a dark route like we did on Temples of Boom and stuff like that.
And so much of this record is influenced by his travels to other countries, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So like he's been international and sort of picking up musical influence in each country, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's something he's always done, you know, since we started back in 91. Everywhere he goes, he'll pick something up.
Well, especially that record, people thought you were from New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, people just assumed it because so much of it was Bomb Squad influenced and East Coast influenced.
Exactly.
Well, there's a Cypress Hill out there in Brooklyn too. Actually, Cypress Hills or in Bronx or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that right?
So that was part of the confusion too, you know.
Now, Elephants on Acid comes out this Friday, and you were saying it feels like it's all over the place, like you took a trip literally and figuratively.
Right.
Is that kind of the point of it?
Yeah, you know, in terms of the production, he wanted people to feel like they were on a psychedelic trip.
Yes.
Even though they might not be on psychedelics listening to it. And
Let's be honest, they are.
But my question though, what if I were to do psychedelics, listen to it, does it kind of cross itself out?
No,
it just like a classical record?
It further enhances the trip.
It advances the trip because what you know, the thing about Muggs, Sen, and I is, you know, we were always fans of different genres of music, mm-hmm. you know, from classic rock to, you know, everything. And one of the classic rock bands that we used to listen to, I mean, I don't even know if you can categorize them as this, but the Beatles, I mean, you know, they're big influence.
Never heard of them.
To everyone, obviously.
They're from England.
Oh.
They're from another universe. And, you know, so they had a lot of progressive ideas in their time, you know, they sort of pioneered a lot of the stuff. So, you know, the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was very much an influence in what Muggs envisioned for this Elephants on Acid thing. So.
I heard that he was in Egypt pulling people off the street.
Probably.
Somebody playing like a sitar or something. And he would say, come in, lay it down.
Yeah. Well, he knows a few folks out there. And, you know, we have a couple other, you know, friends like Fred Reck, who is also a producer.
Love
he
Fred
works,
Reck.
Yeah, he works with
West
Dre.
West Coast legend, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, he had a lot of links to people out there in Egypt who he introduced Muggs to, and they, you know, Muggs just sort of made his rounds out there and put this thing together in such a way that, you know, people are flipping out off of because it doesn't sound like anything right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, when they hear the rest of the piece, it's they're going to trip out because it's like it is a trip.
The album that we're talking about right now comes out Friday, this Friday.
Yes.
So make sure and pick that up. Elephants on Acid. And then you're going to tour?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Give us some information. Like,
yeah, Kelly, you guys don't tour just like Milwaukee and Cleveland. Like, you end up everywhere, especially with this record. I feel like you're going to probably have a lot more travel to tour a world record, really.
We got, like, United States, South America dates, Europe dates coming up before this year's over.
Yeah.
That's all going to be good stuff.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to be in Southern California in late October?
October, yeah. Brought back our Haunted Hill to California.
Sweet.
You know, people had been asking and complaining. Hey, why don't you bring this there? God damn it, it's not here.
And I know someone like that.
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah, on the air I did that. So when they announced LA, I was like, what?
Yeah, you know,
because
people would hit me on Twitter and people would hit me on Instagram and anywhere else they can get a hold of me. They're like, hey, man, LA, dude. What's up?
Why do you hate your home?
Yeah, like what? We're not good enough for you anymore. You got to be on the East Coast. Damn, I lifted myself all the way up.
Yeah, you did.
That was odd. This is awkward.
You're like Shaquille B. Real.
It doesn't look weird at all.
B-Real just adjusted his chair so that his head's hitting the roof.
Yes, I'm very tall right now. But
this is the highest he's ever been.
You know, that's
I doubt
a good one.
See what you did.
Sorry,
see
everyone.
What you did there.
You had to go there.
They're like heroes of mine. I had to ruin one joke.
That's awesome, though. That was good. I would have used that on me.
All right.
All right. The guys from Cypress Hill are here. We need to take a break. We'll be back in a second here on the world famous K-Rock. Send Dog is here. B-Real is here.
Yep,
Cypress Hill.
Yep.
Welcome back.
And Elephants on Acid comes out this Friday.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that song's crazy. Tell us about that one.
Tell us about Brevi.
Somebody passed me her demo, and it was on a night that I was having a bad night. And I was like, okay, yeah, check it. I'll listen to it. And I stuck it in the side slot of the passenger seat of the door. You know how they have those, those slots right there.
Never meaning to go back to it.
Yes. And for like months, every time I accelerated or hit the brakes, I'd hear this CD. And it was driving me nuts. So I like, this freaking CD better be good. And I, you know, opened it up, and man, she blew my mind. And eventually her and Muggs met. And she liked doing that dark style of music, you know.
So this album is perfect for her?
Yeah, well, just the combination of Muggs' style of production, you know, at any given point, because that's, you know, his favorite style is to do dark, obscure type of stuff.
Right.
You know, it's about finding people you have chemistry with and who get it. And Brevi definitely got it, and he got Brevi. Mm-hmm. And when they started when we started working on the album and stuff like that, that track came to us, and she was already on the chorus. And I was like, wow, via that connection.
How often do people hand you music and say, check this out? And
often.
How often is it? And how often is it that great?
All the time. I got two boxes at home, and one says good stuff on it, kinda, and the other one says bad stuff on it.
So why do you keep a box with bad stuff?
Because somebody took their time to make it and give it to me, and I feel bad just throwing somebody's music away.
The least you can do is call it bad stuff.
You keep it in a box called bad stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know that that's better.
They don't know, though.
The box with bad stuff has way more stuff in it than the box with
good stuff. Hey, so guys, when you give Send Dog a CD, most of the times end up in the bad,
stuff, but it will be kept.
You know what I would do? Just write good stuff on it, and then you're all confused.
Yeah.
And you just put it in the good stuff.
Hey,
box.
What's up, Sendog? I'm MC Dope. This is my record, Good Stuff.
This is the good stuff.
I hope you got a box for it. Yeah.
Right. With a name like MC Dope, you're going straight to the bad stuff box. Straight there.
And then the box is being labeled not so dope.
Yeah.
No, I'll get CDs too, but you know.
Just most of the time, they don't pay off like that, I assume. Mostly,
well, because a lot of people convince themselves that they're really dope, and they don't have friends that are honest with them and telling them, hey, you need work.
I heard that you were doing a documentary. Is that true?
Yeah, we're starting up a Cypress Hill documentary. We didn't want to do like a biopic or anything like that. I mean, because obviously, you know, we don't want to follow trends ever, you know. We're always trying to be different, be ourselves, but be different and out of the box and stuff like that. So we figured, you know, let's just do a documentary instead of a biopic, because people, you know, would expect now that NWA has done one and other groups are trying to follow suit and do that, that we would be another one to do that. Let somebody do that later. Right now, we'll do a documentary. And
I was going to say, what kind of footage do you have for it?
From way back.
We got stuff from the 80s and stuff.
No kidding.
Yeah, I don't know how they found that.
Wow. I want to see that. Now, are you doing an Indiegogo campaign to raise money for it? Yes, you are. And when does that start?
October 15th.
October 15th.
Yeah, October 15th.
That's when you're going to start raising money for it. How much money do you think you'll need?
That would probably be for the producer.
Yeah. Well, you guys, you know we love you here at K-Rock, and we always appreciate you guys taking time and coming in to talk to us about this. And the tour is going to be fantastic with Hollywood Undead. Tickets for that go on sale Friday?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
And the documentary goes on Indiegogo on October 15th. And then that's going to happen very soon, I hope.
And new album this Friday.
New album this Friday Elephants on Acid.
Yeah.
Is the name of that.
So when are you guys visiting my Dr. Green Thumb Dispensary? I mean, you know,
I mean, what are you doing now?
Out there in Sylmar with so many great flavors. I mean, what's going on with you guys?
What are you doing right now?
You know what? I want weed, I go, you know where I got to go? I got to go to Sylmar. I'm motivated enough to smoke weed, but also go to Sylmar.
It would be worth the trip.
We would come to your place anytime.
Maybe I'll get a drone.
I just travel.
That has some range.
I do agree. If you could buy weed from any rap group, buying weed from Cypress Hill would be insane.
Agreed.
That's like a Make-A-Wish.
Well, you know, wishes come true.
You want to give the address?
It's 12751 Foothill Boulevard, Sylmar, California.
And that's just one?
That's just
store?
That's the first one.
Are you going to have?
Yes, we're working on opening the next one out in Palm Desert and the third one downtown Los Angeles.
All right.
It's awesome.
That sounds good. Well, it's worth a trip to Sylmar for that then.
Well, yeah. I promise all the flower there is remarkable. It definitely is worth it.
I don't think he's talking about flowers.
I think I'm talking about everything.
Thank you, B-Real, for coming in. We appreciate it. Thank you, Sendog. You guys are
thanks
awesome.
For having us,
legends.
We love having you. Yes.
Thank legends.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53. We forgot to mention that Cypress Hill is having a record release party at their marijuana dispensary a Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4. Mm. The address is Dr. Green Thumbs, 12751 Foothill Boulevard in Sylmar, California, from 2 to 4. Muggs, Sen, and B will be there signing autographs. What's up with Bobo?
Huh? It's a sober party, though, right? Like, there's no weed or alcohol there.
I would guess that's true.
It's a Christian, thing.
At Dr. Green Thumbs. Yep. Yes, I would agree that that's the case.
Yeah.
Allie, what's happening?
Hey, Kevin, I'd like to tell you. You guys know my obsession with all things This Is Us.
Yes.
It's the number one drama on television.
Right.
A lot of people love to watch it and cry. Mm-hmm. They just love to feel. They love to get the emotions out.
And by a lot of people, you mean you?
Mostly me in this room. I love that show so much it hurts.
I've never seen it.
Oh, same. It is relatable on every level. You know someone that went through something that one of the characters is going through. Not yourself.
I'm a pretty emotional person, and I do cry a decent amount.
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone like you that is, you look forward to crying.
Absolutely.
It's a weird thing.
As a kid, I used to call love songs on the coast and like dedicate songs to boys that didn't even like me. I'd like, can you play Peter Cetera for Ramsey? Like, sick, just so I could, that was me.
This one goes out to young Allie.
Right.
Out in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. This goes to a boy who's never spoken to her.
Ever.
Here's Celine Dion. Good luck, Allie.
68 degrees along the coast. Yeah, I don't know. I just always, I like to feel.
Sure.
It's odd. Well, here's the thing with it coming back. Came back last night. But the five central cast members from This Is Us renegotiated their contracts, obviously, because it's the number one drama on television. Mm-hmm.
not only significant pay raises for the upcoming third season, but they're all now on the same page. They're all getting the same salary.
All right.
Which is helpful for morale of a TV show.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. Milo Ventimiglia made $115,000 per episode. And then you've got Justin Hartley, who made $70,000. And then kind of the most unknown actor, Chrissy Metz, who famously, when she got the job, had 81 cents in her bank account.
Yeah. Wow.
She was making $40,000 an episode. Now, all five of the main ones, Milo, Mandy Moore, Sterling K. Brown, Chrissy Metz, Justin Hartley, will see their per episode salary jump up to $250,000. There are 18 episodes in this season. That brings their total to $4.5 million per season.
You did that math before, didn't you?
Yeah, have it all written out. You kidding me? We'd be on until 4 p.m. Doing that math.
Good for them.
Good for them, yeah. Absolutely.
And that Favored Nations is such a big deal in TV right now, yes, with what happened over at a bunch of shows, like Hawaii 5-0, and different people noticing that they weren't getting the same amount of money.
Absolutely.
And so...
And you get it for, you know, the first season. You don't know how the show's going to do. You bring in someone that's a name versus someone, it's their first job.
Yeah, Mandy Moore's number wasn't in there, right?
Mandy Moore, we don't
know.
Originally,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that number must have been pretty high to get her on TV.
I would think hers was the highest, then Milo.
Yeah. And Sterling K. Brown's on it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that number now would be insane to get him on
TV. Absolutely.
But it's really cool for them to be able to stand up for the lesser actors that don't have a bigger role.
You know who we have to thank for that? Cast of Friends,
they created
that idea.
Absolutely. Why did you hate them so much, Kevin?
I didn't really hate them. Well, I just didn't see what the buzz was all about.
We listened to some interviews. You hated them to their faces.
Sitcom life. It was a good sitcom, right? It was a good sitcom. I never really watched it either.
Fine. Don't care.
It's fine.
You know what drives me crazy, though, is every day since there's been some kind of a magazine cover or a story or something about the cast of Friends.
Yeah.
Every day since then.
Yeah. When will they reunite?
It was on like the 60s. Let's let it go.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, it was the 60s.
I think. I don't remember.
Well, let's talk about a show that we can all agree was one of the best ever on television. The Office, correct?
Yes.
Okay, good, because I was going to fight both of you.
No, still watching.
If you've ever wanted to work at Dunder Mifflin or wondered what life in Scranton, Pennsylvania might be like, today is your lucky day. Through October 5th, you can purchase props from The Office in an online auction.
Yay!
Yes, ScreenBid is auctioning off hundreds of items, and it's all price points. Here are some under the $100 mark.
Okay.
For $50, do you want Toby's desk clock, Angela's stuffed gray cat, Stanley's googly-eyed glasses, or Dwight's airplane poster? Sure. You can get everything from phones, mock files, folders, all kinds of stuff, staplers, mouse pads. And then if you want to spend a little more money... What about Michael's neon St. Pauli girl beer sign? That's currently $1,500. Could go up.
Oh, so this is an auction?
Yes.
Oh, this is going to get gross.
Yeah. Pam's reception desk? About a grand.
Yeah.
Right now. But then they've got chairs from the conference room, everything. So head on over to ScreenBid and put in your money. Words.
FYI, these get very expensive.
Yes.
These like TV show ones. Like I remember when they did the Lost one. Someone paid for like the door of the plane, and I was like, that'll go for a couple grand. It went for like 150 grand.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Some stupid.
And I always try to picture them afterwards, going, no, seriously, it's the door from Who Cares?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No one cares.
And where in your house is it? Right. Just like propped up in the garage.
Well, I've been telling people that my mugs are from Cheers for years. It's like, oh yeah, this Kirstie Alley drank out of this. And no one knows. No one knows.
Right.
You're totally right.
They can't source you.
Absolutely.
Totally, totally right. What do you think about a musical version of Cameron Crowe's Oscar-winning 2000 film?
Vanilla Sky.
Almost Famous.
close. Okay.
Yeah. Stillwater, the band right up there on stage singing some tunes.
Yeah.
Nah?
Not for me.
I don't know if it's for me either. I love that movie so much.
It depends.
If
it's well done, it's for everybody, pretty much. And if it's not, then no thanks.
Absolutely. Hey, coming up, I know Kevin is going to be all over this because he wants to go horseback riding with Madonna. I'll tell you how you can do that.
It's my lifelong dream.
Oh, my gosh. Your vision board. I mean, I thought it was weird that that was the main focus of it, but it's all coming together. Some birthdays for you. Linda Hamilton, Olivia Newton-John, Serena Williams, and James Caviezel.
Jesus.
Indeed, he was in The Passion of the Christ. And that's what's happened.
We've had an ongoing problem for, I'd say, 3 to 4 years here at K-Rock behind the scenes. Every day when we walk in, there's lighting in our studios.
Right.
And every day when we walk in, it's different.
Uh-huh.
And we can't figure out what are people doing the rest of the day. It's fine for, I'm standing behind the microphone in front of the controls. It's fine for me.
Right. Yes.
So why would anybody need to change any of the lights anywhere?
Yeah, I'll show up and I'll look over at where Kevin is standing. And I've got three lights now shining directly in my face to the point where you look away and you just see black dots for 5 minutes.
And we have track lighting, which I think is probably important for people to understand.
Yes.
That these things can be moved around. They could be taken out. They could be directed different ways.
Right.
And sometimes I feel like I've come in here and felt like I'm being interrogated.
Right, exactly.
Like, where were lights. You on the night of...
Yeah, on my face.
So this has been a big question mark. So we keep trying to figure out why would anyone else need to move the lights and who's doing it?
Who?
Mm-hmm.
So Allie texted me the other day and said, Megan, right now, check out Megan's Instagram stories.
Check Megan Holiday's Instagram stories because it's her laying on the ground just, you know, being Megan because she gets very bored late at night. And then she zooms in on Engineer Rich on a ladder fixing lights, and then I text everyone and I said, we have found the person that moves the damn lights directly into our eyes. Damn you, Megan Holiday, and damn you.
And then I texted her the same thing. Damn you, you're the person that changes the lights, all in caps. Mm-hmm. And she said, it's not me. It's Stryker.
Wow.
But they do it during my shift because they don't have time during his or whatever.
So they could blame someone else.
Right.
Yes. So we've got Stryker on the phone. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Kevin, Jensen, and Allie.
Hi,
so
Stryker.
You're the one. So this has been you the whole time.
For many, many years, I walk in the studio, the old studio, the new fresh studio, which has beautiful carpet.
Right.
Which already has crumbs everywhere in it.
Sure. You're welcome.
The lighting shines in a way... over the back of my head, into over my shoulder, over the microphone stand,
right.
And creates a shadow where the buttons are.
There's and no I shadow. What? The, I'm standing right where you're talking about. There's no. My shadow is over to the left, over the phone.
Well, good for you. Mine.
What? So
you guys have different shadows.
No okay, two so shadows different are alike.
Well, it is okay. Different times of day.
That's yeah, the a good sun point. Isn't a different
You have to
place.
Think about the sun.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Stryker, every day you would change it?
I'm not saying every day, but I would kneel down on those swivelly, dangerous chairs.
Yeah. Right.
And I would take my shoe off and hammer at the light up there
it's a lot
until it got out of the way.
It's a lot easier just to climb on the tabletop and stand on it, and then you can just move it with your hand. What are you throwing shoes
like,
for?
Yeah,
it seems like an inexact science. Oh, I knocked it too far. Now I got to throw a shoe from the other side.
Wait, checking the wind?
It just works. All it takes, because I don't know how those lights work. Jensen's just called it track lighting. I don't even know what track lighting is. There's a bunch of lights. They aim weird. The
There's a track, and you can
sound,
move.
By the way, this is what you would do in testimony. A lot of, like, I don't recall. I don't know what track lighting is.
Right.
This is what he would do if we put him on a trial up on the stand. I mean, this is exactly how a bad witness, someone who is guilty, would talk.
So, Stryker, when you walk in for your shift, the lighting is all wrong every day.
The lighting is all wrong. I don't care where it's shining everywhere else. I
of
swear
course
I don't
you
mind.
Don't, Stryker.
Because you don't care about anybody
right
but yourself.
In my eyeballs.
Oh, man. You, the shadow is so strong. Coming, it feels like the sun and the shadow. I can't even see the buttons, and it shades out. I can't read my writing.
That's,
I can't see
that's 100% absurd.
Stryker, does Stryker have a lighting team?
Yeah, he should. Here's the thing I don't get, Stryker.
Yes.
Dare I say, Kevin Ryder has an immense head. It is huge.
It's a noggin.
All right, take it easy.
Shouldn't the board just be completely blacked out with
like
him?
Like an eclipse.
That's what I'm saying. So what's with your head, Stryker?
So it's not at all. So what's up?
I thought I was going on the air today to talk about having a good memory or like maybe you would even bring up, I don't know, the new studio or how I saw
it. Oh, we're bringing up the new studio. That's the topic.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
Why is somebody changing the lights every day in the new studio is the question.
I'm telling you, the shadow is the worst thing It's blocking my view of the board.
It's just
I've been pressing. I stopped the song in the middle. I talked over something with the mics not on the other day.
Oh, I do that. I do that, Stryker, but that's my fault. That's human error.
That has nothing to do with lights.
That's not, there's a shadow on the board.
For a second, I was like, maybe Stryker's right.
No, 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 no. You can't see it enough to turn on your own mic? BS.
Rich, that engineer, he was looking at me in the craziest way when I was telling him about the light. I know he was thinking, we've been working on this freaking studio for so long.
Right.
He asked me about track lighting right now.
Mm-hmm. And the
now
light is
what track lighting is, huh? Oh, sounds like
right? Exactly.
Sounds like we need to readjust our questioning.
And right. Let's be honest. Rich, the engineer, on a ladder fixing lights for you. The man is doing God's work. He is a goddamn engineer. He shouldn't be fixing lights.
He went to school for that. Engineering, not lighting.
Yeah.
And when we have to move the lights back, we don't have an engineer. We just climb up and do it.
Well, we make Ruben or Chip do it.
Or Chip, yeah.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah, well, listen, I don't apologize.
Listen.
God, no apology.
You listen to me. Leave the lights where they are.
I'm sorry. I cannot. I'm going to have to. That shadow is too much.
Here we go.
In Casino?
It's out. Race war!
It's not a race war.
Race war's on, everybody!
It's technically all the same race.
It's going down!
It's all the same race.
Come on.
Okay.
Race war.
All right.
Feels like a race war.
I do think we're throwing a bit of a gauntlet here, though.
What does that mean?
I'm saying we're telling him don't do it again.
Right.
Yeah.
Or?
Well, we'll have to talk about that.
Or we don't know yet, Stryker.
Yeah, we're working
on
that.
Can you bribe me with anything?
No, bribe you?
We're asking you to keep the studio the way it is. We don't need to bribe.
Have you considered a miner's hat?
That's a good answer.
I'll give you another one.
A miner's hat with a little light on the front of it. Yeah.
I have another idea. He travels around with a man who's holding one of those old camera flash,
like,
and then every time they're going to do a cue, real hard, and then the whole studio lights up, and then back to normal lights.
I like it.
Have you considered that?
The producers pass the mic. Drop the mic, I mean, and now he's telling me how to do lighting.
Not even saying my name right. Not even saying my show's name right. Listen, Stryker, you have been told, do not touch the lights. I don't want to mix any words. Don't touch the lights. That's it.
I'm sorry. I cannot do that.
Oh,
well, then you'll have to live with the consequences.
Wow. Fight! Jensen, give us a tiny bit of background for Little Zan.
Oh, it's something I never wanted anyone to say to me. Listen, Little Zan is a SoundCloud rapper who looks very meager. He's like a little white kid, and his face is tattooed up like a monster. He has like tons of different things. I know he just got like slime oozing out of his eye. He has like a number on his face. He looks, I mean, insane. He looks like the poster for why old people hate young people. Do you know what I mean? And
yes.
His music isn't great. It's just sort of like mumbling, and I don't know. I get off my lawn.
Here's the headline. Lil Zan went to the hospital after eating too many flaming hot Cheetos.
Yep, you thought we were going to say mushrooms.
Right?
Yes.
We didn't.
Flaming hot Cheetos. He went on to say, it ripped something in my stomach. I'm not sure he knows that because he posted that in the ambulance on the way to the hospital.
Well, he's also a PhD.
Well,
I don't. Is he a PhD? Because you didn't mention that in the first part of it.
Oh, no, he's not. I thought he was.
Okay, right.
Did some research, figured out. His
name. So just a self-diagnosis. I ate a crap ton of hot Cheetos and now my
stomach
is ripped.
So he called an ambulance and got taken to the hospital. Now, I think this is back in his room, the next Instagram that he's putting up, talking about he had to go to the hospital, but he's back, he's packing for his tour, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I went to the hospital today, you know, getting ready to pack for this tour. I just want to let everybody know I was in the hospital, not due to any drugs, but I guess I ate too many hot Cheetos.
That's a drug.
And it ripped. Something in my stomach open, so I puked a little blood. So we good.
Puked a little blood. Doesn't seem ideal.
No.
Little Zan is short for Little Xanax. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were afraid for his safety over time. He's a big drug kid.
Okay.
I do like the idea, though, that the one thing that did get to him was one of America's favorite snacks.
I just love hot Cheetos! I love you so much!
You got to imagine when you go to the emergency room and you tell them what's wrong with you, and then they have the bulletproof glass, so you have to yell so that everybody in the room can hear you. And then you have to yell, I ate too many hot Cheetos.
Yeah.
Isn't the diagnosis usually my booty be burning?
That is what they say.
Well, that's what the doctor tells you.
Right. But this time it's the stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Also, I do think it's funny that he went to the hospital and he's very tough looking in a sense. He's not a tough kid, but he's tough looking that he has all these crazy tattoos. And they must have hurt to tattoo on his face. But the thing that brought him down.
Yes.
Is this snack.
So what we're going to talk about is lame reasons you had to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
It's not something that you're necessarily going to brag about for life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, little Zan 2 years from now isn't going to be going, remember when
Little
I went
Zan, Little Zan won't be alive. Okay.
Oh.
let's be honest here, guys.
Yeah. So my example still stands. He won't be talking about this flaming hot Cheetos.
It's not going to end well.
You had one, Jensen?
In high school, we had just got a family dog, an adorable Shih Tzu. Mm-hmm. And this Shih Tzu and I had I'd never had a dog before. So I didn't have no real connection or understanding of their behavior. Mm-hmm. And so waking up in the morning real early for school, it's like, 6 a.m. or something. And I'm looking in the mirror, putting a Q-tip in my ear, cleaning it out. I hear a little bit of a tap tap, look behind me. Oh, my God, it's my adorable little dog. Keep my Q-tip in. I go, what's up? How you doing? And then, woof! And he barks and kind of jumps at me a little. Not in a mean way at all. In an adorable
excited,
way.
Right?
And I puncture my eardrum with the Q-tip.
Oh, my gosh.
And the pain echoed through every joint, body, tendon, bone, everything through my entire aura. It stung. I felt an echo. And then the sound, no sound out of that ear anymore.
You couldn't hear at all?
No, nothing at that point.
Wow.
Just almost like my heartbeat, which I may be making up now, like an astronaut. And then I look in the mirror, and now my hand is no longer on the Q-tip, but it is gouged into my ear. And
it's still there. The Q-tip is still there. Okay.
Deep. And it's blood just gushing out of my ear, down my face. So I'm like 17, and I just scream. Ah! I scream at the top of my lungs, pain, murder. My parents run in. They pretty much figure out what's going on fast. They rush me to the hospital. They take out the Q-tip out of my ear, and I lose some hearing that day.
Forever.
Not a ton, but a small percentage. I'd probably say like 10% of that ear went away.
Oh my
the rest is from listening to rap very loud.
But at 17, you're embarrassed to go to a hospital for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to tell people that I was stabbed or that I...
I got stabbed in the ear.
Yeah.
But I'm good.
Yeah, or that, like I got punched or something. But eventually I told someone and then it got out and that was a bit of a laugh.
I have a story.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
It was the year 2000, and the Backstreet Boys had released Burger King, like little figurines.
Okay.
And it was the day they were out, and my friend Megan Henderson and I wanted to get to Burger King in between our shifts. So she at the time had a tiny little Acura, and cars that are lower to the ground, sometimes you open the door and you just put your whole body weight in as you're getting in.
Right.
I didn't clear the top of the door.
Oh no.
So I hit my head so hard that everything went black for a little bit. One of those, like, you're seeing stars. No, I didn't see anything. I was, like, temporarily blind. God. We went to Burger King. I got the Brian Littrell one, which was very exciting. He's the one that had the heart condition. Very concerned about him. So I got
Stay on target.
And then I got back to where I was, and I was like, I should go to the hospital. Went to the hospital and had to explain to them that I most likely have a...
concussion.
A head injury, possibly brain trauma, because I wanted to be the first to get the Backstreet Boy figurines at Burger King.
Hmm.
Wow.
Not a cool way to be injured.
It's a big old loser story.
You didn't even get, I at least would have got the action figure of the one who looks like a magician.
That's Kevin.
I love that one. I love that
sure,
guy.
Sure, sure.
Looks like he's always about to do a trick.
Always has a cape.
Yeah, he's always just like, poof.
Yeah.
Gone. All right. We are going to take your calls 1-800-520-1067. Let's take one call before the break. Let's make it Edwin in Lakeview Terrace. Good morning, Edwin.
Hey, good morning. So my stove was off, and we were trying to cook some food. We were trying to actually boil some water for my kids. We're trying to give them some ramen noodles.
Right.
So we had an electric pan, and we plugged it into the wall, and my wife was boiling the water, and it cut the power to the house. so everything went dark. We couldn't see anything. And I didn't know what was going on. I was in the other room. So the power went out. I called my girl. I'm like, what's going on? She's like, oh, I'm going to go flip the switch real quick, the circuit breaker. So I walk into the living room. Into the kitchen. I couldn't see anything, so I sat down. As the boiling water was on the pan, and everything's hot, so as soon as I sit down, I could feel the burn.
Wait, so you sat in the pot of hot water, boiling water?
Yeah, the one of those electric, little cheap, you know, right. Like ones you plug in. And all I could feel was my testicles, my gooch.
Go on.
And my cheeks.
Yeah.
Burning.
Oof.
Burning hot.
Yeah.
As soon as I get up, I take everything off real quick, just drop my trousers, everything to the floor, and the back of my legs are coming down, all the hot water down the back of my legs. Instant blisters.
Edwin.
Blisters right away.
Edwin, did you serve your children butt ramen?
That's a great question.
With meatballs. No,
they had a vending machine. They had a vending machine, chips, hot Cheetos.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls are next.
All right. Let's take one call before we play some music. Let's make it Sergio in Whittier. Good morning, Sergio.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
So you had a very embarrassing reason to go to the hospital.
Yes. I was actually drunk, and location doesn't matter, but my wife says, if you love me because she was drunk too, you'd give me a piggyback ride. I'm like, all right, let's go. So when she went to jump on my back, I overcompensated by throwing her over, which made her land higher up on me. So I stumbled, fell, hit my head on the concrete, suffered a concussion, and she has suffered a broken clavicle.
Oh, my God.
No.
How romantic. Am I right?
But I loved her, though. I proved that I loved her.
Yes, it did.
All right. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520.
Was that Chris Brown?
No.
Oh, okay.
1067. Sure, we'll take your calls next.
I just love hot Cheetos. I love you so much.
I could listen to those kids all day. They just make me happy.
They're the best.
Flamin' Hot Cheetos is the reason little Zan had to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Tore his stomach up.
Tore his stomach up, he said. I don't know that that's necessarily a medical observation, but that's what he felt
like. Yeah, self-diagnosis.
So he went to the hospital because of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. So we're talking about lame reasons that you ended up having to go to the hospital. Polo in Rosemead. Hi.
Hi, Ed.
How are you?
Yeah, basically, it was about 6 good, thank you. I was 6 years old. I was getting a beer for my dad, and I slammed my finger on the door.
Oh, that hurts so much.
And it cut off a tendon. Cut off half my fingernail.
Oh, my God.
And he was very concerned.
About his beer?
Yeah, he was very concerned. He was like, about the beer.
Where's my beer?
Like, where's the beer? Yeah. And no, I was very proud because I got it to him, but he just told my mom and my grandmother to take me to the
because he had a beer to drink.
Yeah.
Don't be ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, he had some work to do.
You were like, I lost my finger. He's like, I lost my buzz.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Mike and Tustin. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thank you. How are you?
Good. My story starts out, and it's with my brothers in the basement. They were a little mischievous. I was about 7 years old, and involves a bowl of popcorn. What they did is, as we're eating the popcorn, the seeds are at the bottom, and they said, hey, I got to show you a little trick we can do. You put this seed in this ear.
Oh, no.
Shake your head, and it can come out the other ear.
Aww.
So I, of course, they left us alone. And I'm with my younger friend, and we said, well, let's try it. So put a popcorn seed in one ear, and guess what happened? That ended me, put me in the hospital.
Oh. So it didn't work?
No, it did not work. Okay. It came out the other side.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
I think that's what he's saying, yes. All right. Wow, I can't believe Sam. This is scary. Hey, Sam.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So I was working on my truck, and Jesse Reed.
This is Santa Monica. Yeah. Oh,
Sam, well done.
I love that guy so much.
It was a good setup.
He always does that. Oh, he always calls it. He gets past the screeners, and he always does.
He deserved
that.
He's
awesome.
That's good.
All right, let's go to Shannon in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning.
So you were injured in a lame way and had to go to the hospital.
Yes, chips are dangerous.
Chips.
I had a tortilla chip to the eyeball, scratched my cornea.
Oh. Were you like biting into it and it like ricocheted?
Did you miss your mouth by that far? What happened?
No, I was grabbing a bag from the walk-in pantry. All the lights were off. Tortilla chip fell from the bag and just landed in my eyeball. I didn't have time to respond.
What are the chances?
The nurse said it was the worst injury she had seen, aside from like nail gun to the eyeball.
What?
It was that bad?
Chips are dangerous.
Said it for years.
All right, thank you much for the call. Let's see. Let's go to Scott in Burbank. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, guys. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you very much. Lame reason you went to the hospital.
So I was 17. I was remodeling my kitchen with my parents, and I decided to take the circular saw outside. I was top of the wood. So I stand up from using the circular saw and then rub it right across my leg, and I gasped, giant gasp.
No. You cut your leg open with a saw.
With a circular saw,
circular saw. Oh, my God. That seems like a good reason to go to the hospital.
Yeah, that's a
No. So my mother-in-law's in the kitchen. I'm like, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, he's basically Leatherface, running through the streets with a chainsaw.
All right, thank you, Scott, for the call. Let's go to Saul in Torrance. Good morning, Saul.
Good morning, guys. All right, so I was 15 at the time. I was just getting my braces, and I had to get teeth pulled. And so I'm in the on the table, and the moment the doctors leave the room, they're done taking my four teeth out. They leave the room to go get some equipment, and my in a high state said, "I'm going to get up. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go home."
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Good choices.
I got up from the chair. I walked to the front door. This is maybe like 20 feet. I looked back at my dad waiting in the waiting room. I said, "Dad, I don't feel," and I blacked out. Hit my head on the coffee table.
Oh.
Don't remember the drive to the hospital. Got to the hospital.
Oh,
and my
no.
dad said, "Hey, are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I just woke up. I'm like, I feel great. I'm good. There's a gash on the side of my head, and I'm sitting in the car, and the moment I stepped out, I said, I feel good. I took a step, blacked out again."
That's on your dad at that point, isn't it? I mean, you've already blacked out once.
I give him crap for it all the time. I'm like, you should have had your arm around me. You should have been with me.
Yeah, he should have been Weekend at Bernie's-ing you like into the space. Yeah.
He didn't love you, Saul. I'm sorry.
I would have loved it if he made me a puppet. I would have loved it.
Yeah, didn't love you.
Thank you for calling and for listening. We appreciate it. And let's take one more. Let's make it Nicole in Santa Monica. Hi, Nicole.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Okay, so I was a senior in high school, and I got to school, and I noticed my hands started turning blue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as second period came along, they were getting more and more blue.
Yikes.
And it was really freaking me out. And so I was asking my friends, they're like, I don't know, you should go to the nurse. So I went to the school nurse. She didn't know what was going on. She's like, I don't know, I gotta call your mom. Called my mom. Mom comes to pick me up. She's freaking out. Nobody knows why my hands are turning blue. So I end up going to the emergency room. My mom takes me to the emergency room. We sit in and we're waiting for the doctor to come in. The doctor comes in. The doctor has no idea why my hands are turning blue. They're way more blue than they were at the beginning of the school day. And, so they run a bunch of tests. They take my blood. I got an MRI, whole bunch of stuff. And it turns out I was wearing new blue jeans.
Well, I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry. Hold on.
The ink is coming off.
You were wearing new blue jeans.
Yeah. My jeans were brand new. They were brand new blue jeans.
I was hoping maybe the jeans were too tight. They were cutting off circulation.
That's what I thought.
It was the dye from your jeans, Nicole.
It's so good.
Blue jeans.
So good.
Everyone in my family had been alerted I was going to the emergency room for blue hands.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's
awesome.
Very good.
Yes, we do. Thank you very much
for
the call. We appreciate it. I would like to play real quick our remix of the Hot Cheetos Kids. It's about 30
when
seconds.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. Hot Cheetos! I just love hot Cheetos! I love them so much! I love them so much! Crazy, crazy, I get crazy, crazy. When I eat hot
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53. Ellen McKay is here. What's happening?
Well, we were talking about it earlier this morning. How some of us took some pleasure watching Bill Cosby being sentenced 3 to 10 years
it
in
made
state
me
prison.
So happy.
My favorite thing he's done.
Favorite thing he's
yeah,
done.
Yeah, my favorite work. Go. Watching him go in jail.
Yep.
Yeah, so he has been sentenced 3 to 10 years in state prison for the sexual assault of Andrea Constand. And he was ruled a, quote, sexually violent predator and also fined $25,000, which means that he will spend at least 3 years behind bars and then become eligible for supervised release, though that is not guaranteed, and the judge won't grant bail. And by the way, with the sexually violent predator, that means that he has to register as a sex offender for the rest of his life. So, little bit of justice.
A little bit. I was thinking yesterday, it's so much less than he deserves.
Does everyone remember how this kicked off?
Hannibal Burress,
that's
right?
That's right.
Yeah.
A bootleg video from a comedy club. Someone from the back sneaking a video in, and it was Hannibal saying, why does no one talk about Bill Cosby raping women?
Yeah.
And weirdly, it wasn't like that. It was just a weird spark to bring up something.
Right.
And a lot of people that I've talked to think it had to do with like the idea that it was a hidden camera in a comedy club. It's like, because you've heard those things before.
Yeah.
You've heard the Bill Cosby accusations before, but for some reason, this one got a lot of attention.
And then everybody started actually focusing on
and looking into it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's
good for him.
It's an interesting thing when women bring up things constantly. They're never really listened to.
And then a dude does it.
But a dude does it, and everyone's like, wait, we bet. Whoa.
Yeah.
Let's take this seriously.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Well, that's because women, they're too emotional.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily have what I would call smarts.
Right. Dancing with the Stars season 27 has eliminated their first contestant. Last night was the second evening of the two-night premiere. And really, the only reason I was tuning into the show, and by tuning in, I watched a clip and also voted for her, okay. Nikki Glaser has been eliminated.
I know.
She had said before the show that she has literally no dancing experience. So she wanted to go on and prove to herself, you know, this scares me. I don't know if I can do it. I just want to try. And that's all she wanted from the show. So I feel like she succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very sad she won't be there.
Right. I mean, I don't think it's that's sad.
Well, you can't be in the shoes of another person.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, sir. I know.
Okay.
I know.
Let it out.
Okay. It's all right.
Yeah. You still have Mary Lou Retton and Nancy McKeon, so that's cool.
Yeah. Still all over that.
Just... I got to deal with my hall pass now.
Which one?
I don't know. No, actually, together.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. All
right.
It's strange they're on the same show. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Good stuff. You guys, Will Smith, he has taken social media to a whole new level. We were talking about how sometimes your publicist manager says, get on social media, just post one or two things. And celebrities are like, ugh, I don't want to. Either I'm too old for this, I'm too above this. But then they get suckered in and they have to do it. Will Smith has taken it to a level that I have never seen before.
But is this straight YouTube or is it Instagram?
No, this is Instagram.
It is Instagram.
Like, he is posting things that look like, you know, a minute-long movie. 15-second stories. I'm like, that could win an Oscar. Like, it's shot beautifully, edited beautifully. He went diving with his kids. He had underwater cameras.
See,
with
he's
his
cheating.
Children. I feel
the
like
the rest
he
of
is.
Us don't have that equipment.
He danced on like a bridge,
Yeah,
like
on top. Yeah. It was insanity
it was
watching
nuts.
That.
Yeah.
Well, last night or yesterday, he was not going to let his 50th birthday go by without jumping out of a helicopter via bungee cord above the Grand Canyon.
He's 50?
Those are real words I just said.
That was what you
said.
Took out of that?
Yeah. That's what I took
that
out of
that. That was his takeaway.
He jumped out of a helicopter with the bungee cord.
Yes.
I'm
but
saying he's
50?
Yeah.
Okay, back to you.
Yeah.
I just think it's below Will Smith.
Yeah.
He seems to be having fun with it, though. If he were taking it seriously and trying to say, look at me, I'm really the best, I don't feel like he's doing it that way, though.
I think he... I don't need to get too deep in this, but I think that he's like being like, I need more followers. I want to be the best at social media. It's just not something Will Smith, who was in.
Yeah.
He's a great actor. He's kind of our generation's Denzel.
So it's kind of below him.
Yes. Get off of social media. That's where people sell green tea tummy.
Flat tummy teas.
Mm-hmm. Like, don't go on there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you should be off of that.
Or could he just be reaching a new audience and reinventing himself in a way?
Denzel doesn't have to put up thirst traps. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'd be into it if he did.
Well, yeah, he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Leave that to talentless.
Yeah, I could see where you're coming from.
That's the guy from Bad Boys.
It is.
An Independence Day.
What you gonna do?
It's also true.
You can now go horseback riding with Madonna.
Yes!
Or sit in the studio while she plays you songs from her unreleased new album.
Nope, let's go to the horse.
Riding.
You want horseback riding? Yes. This is all happening. You guys are rotten. I support it. Madonna has donated those two experiences to be auctioned off at the second annual Monte Carlo Gala for the Global Ocean. That's held today. So if you want to sign up for these things, you can also bid on a guitar signed by Mick Jagger, joining Prince Albert II for the Monaco Formula E Prix. I don't even know. Race cars, I assume?
Yep.
You can go golfing with Andy Garcia at the Lakeside Club in Los Angeles. Or go on a vacation with Victoria's Secret model Toni Garn at a spa in Zanzibar. I have a feeling a lot of people want to do that one. They're like, golf with Andy Garcia?
I think that last one's slightly problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think so too. Getting couples massages.
They're going to have to run someone's credit before they win.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Getting a facial with a Victoria's Secret model. Like, when they, for your skin.
Right, of course.
All right. Some birthdays.
In the spa, you're talking about.
In the spa in Zanzibar.
Good.
Birthdays. Linda Hamilton. James Caviezel.
Jesus.
He played Jesus, Passion of the Christ. He's very godlike.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
What has he done since being God?
Person of Interest.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
I love Person of Interest, but he's not godlike.
In that.
Right. No, I meant it just as a human.
I see.
I know nothing about him.
Okay.
Olivia Newton-John and Serena Williams, happy birthday.
We welcome to the studio Melissa Carbone. Welcome, Melissa.
Hey, hello. Thanks for
Melissa
having me.
Is the person behind Los Angeles Haunted Hayride.
Yeah. I know about it well. It's a Los Angeles staple. For Halloween.
You went on it, right?
I've went numerous times.
Okay.
I have stories that I think are both scary and weird.
Yeah. Okay.
Like one year, a clown ran up to the hayride, ran up to the tractor. I was with a female who was blonde, screaming, yelling, then got real close to her ear and said, "You look like Daryl Hannah." And then just walked away.
And it was Daryl Hannah.
No, it was just a girl who looks like Daryl Hannah. It was terrifying. And then another time, we were with a group of like 8 or 10 people walking around. There's many things to do. There's the hayride. There's a maze. There's like candied apples. There's all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And we're walking around. And she sets it up so that there are people in the environment walking around with you. So like a zombie or, whatever, murderer. Or a guy who vapes. I don't know. That sounds terrifying, too. And so we're walking around, and this ghoul starts following us. And I think that's part of the bit. That's like a thing they do. And then 45 minutes later, he's still with us.
The same group?
He never left. He was with us the whole time. He took a group photo with us.
We have committed characters.
You do.
They commit.
Yeah,
they do.
Fully committed.
Tell me how this all got started. If you don't mind.
No, for sure. So the LA Haunted Hayride started 10 years ago. This is our 10-year anniversary.
I can't believe it's 10th anniversary already.
Oh, my God. I know. Neither can I. So, but I lived in Westwood, California with my wife at the time, Allison Richards, who's the co-founder. And we were creating these giant, elaborate Halloween displays in our yard. Like, I was basically throwing up Halloween on my neighborhood. And it was very, like, soccer mom USA.
Respect.
Yeah. I was next level. But it was very soccer mom USA, suburbia. And they didn't really know quite what to think of us. But, man, Halloween night, they were all in the yard.
Of course.
And one night I looked out into the front yard and I saw, there were like 200 people like gathering, and there were parents like talking and canoodling in the front yard. And I was like, there's something to this Halloween holiday. So I started doing the research on the revenue. And at the time, it was a $6.5 billion industry.
Yeah, insane.
That, I mean, from my perspective, was underserved in a market the size of LA. At the time, mm-hmm. we only had like three mm-hmm. Halloween attractions. The wheels just started going, and I became a freight train that couldn't be stopped on this like Halloween kick, and created the very first LA Haunted Hayride because I was from New England, and they were a big thing
in
New England.
That's a big thing.
So yeah, so I had missed them here, so I figured I'd bring the very first one, and that was 2009.
And people who haven't went or are outside of LA don't know that the production value of these is extremely high. I mean, the makeup is movie ready. All the setups. It's not a cheap chintzy project.
It's not cheesy.
No, mm-hmm. no, it is done in a real horror movie way. And is that something that you guys had always like strived to do, like to be just like a horror movie?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for me, I was never going to jump in this, you know, endeavor and try to do it in a small way. You know, we're in Los Angeles. I wanted to do this and compete with the biggest and the best that were here.
Let me stop you right there. Yeah. Isn't that a little daunting to say all of these theme parks in this city do a huge Halloween thing? Yep. Now you're going to take them on, you know, head first. That just seems daunting to me, no?
I mean, I thought it was exciting. You
all
know,
right.
This to me, it was, you know, I was from this corporate American career, and I'm now I get to play in blood and guts for a living. Like, amazing. Like, bring it. You know, I'm like, I could do this 24 hours a day. So, yeah, I wanted to be something different. You know, I didn't want to just be another theme park. So,
right.
You know, bring in, let's put a bunch of Los Angelinos in the woods at night and annihilate them. Like,
and right? Each year it gets bigger and better.
Yeah.
Are you working on this all year round?
We do. The LA Haunted Hayride is, I would say it's a 9-month, you know, production.
Is that right?
From concept to execution.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I am sure, because I have gone to it with guy friends that are like, hey, if you need me, I mean, I'm right here in case you get scared. Those dudes are peeing their pants. Has there ever been a situation where someone just loses it and you're like, we've got to get this person calmed down?
Oh, every year.
Yeah.
I mean, we have several of those. We strive for that.
Yes.
You know, we used to have T-shirts, and you'd get one if you did.
They used to.
Well, no, what I'm doing.
By the way, that has nothing to do with being scared. I own the shirt because I have a problem. One time when we were walking out of the maze, you think you're safe. I'm not spoiling anything because this is a lot of mazes. You think you're safe, but then there's something when mm-hmm. you're out, you know? And there's a camera that was at that spot. So,
yeah.
Like, we all thought we were pretty cool and pretty tough and pretty cool guys. And we were like, that was a good maze. High five. We weren't that scared. And then that thing happened.
And you see the
And then
picture.
They took the photo. And then we looked online and we're like, no, we were terrified.
Yes.
Like, actually scared.
Yes.
Like, want to go home. But I do love it. And people might know you also because you went on Shark Tank.
I did.
And with this idea, when it was kind of early in the mix. And you, I think, took home their largest investment at that time.
Largest deal in the history of the show.
Yeah,
wow.
Still.
The time. Yes.
What year was that and how much?
2013. It was $2 million.
Wow. Jesus.
No.
I know.
For scaring people.
Can you believe it?
You
That's
still
awesome.
You still talk to Mark Cuban?
You know, I haven't talked to him in a few months. We I sold the company. Allison and I sold our company, 1031 Productions, in January. So past that point, I think I've only talked to him like twice. Before that, yeah, he was very involved partner.
So you sold it, but you still run it?
Sold it, still run it. I'm still involved in the new parent company that purchased it, 13th Floor Entertainment Group. They're incredible. They have Halloween attractions. We have Halloween attractions in like 15 cities now.
That's smart. That's what you do. You create a company, you sell it, then part of the deal,
Heck
you
yeah.
stay on as a consultant.
Heck yeah.
Suck it, Moneybags Melissa.
Yeah,
right?
That's what you do. What
I
you
mean,
do.
One day.
Living the American dream.
Maybe when I grow up, yeah.
How many different things do you have at the Hayride?
We have four zones. So we
four
have
zones.
Obviously the Haunted Hayride, which is the main piece, and it's beautiful and gorgeous and magical. We have Purgatory, which is our village, the Dark Maze, which is called House of Shadows, and Trick or Treat, which is our own version of suburbia that we've erected, and you knock on doors and get tricks and treats.
How many people are hired every Halloween to work there?
As cast?
Yeah.
We have about 250 cast members.
Yeah, that's who you're up against.
Yeah, and it's a 30-acre attraction.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really weird to me, though, that you would say to somebody, follow a group for 45 minutes and don't stop.
They never. Like, he never spoke job. To us. He never mm-hmm. spoke to us. He just walked with us.
It's so just the creepy. Same guy the whole way.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on your role, but there are certain roles that, you know, their job is to find somebody to play with for a while.
And just hang out and try to scare the crap out of
terrifying.
Them.
Yeah. Very, very scary.
Well, that's how Jensen earned his T-shirt.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Me and Daryl Hannah.
He didn't wear it today.
No. But that's because I'm embarrassed. I'm wearing diapers now.
That is a badge of honor in our world.
Not as scary.
It is the Los Angeles Haunted Hayride. It starts... This Saturday.
This Saturday, it's our 10-year anniversary, the biggest year yet.
This Saturday through October 31st, it's at the old zoo area of Griffith Park.
Which is a huge part of it.
Yes.
You're also in a abandoned zoo.
Yeah, so spooky.
As if you needed something else to be scared of. The spirits of cheetahs and ostriches, they're all just staring at you from afar.
And tickets are only $26. You can get those at losangeleshauntedhayride.com. Melissa, you're an impressive person.
Oh, man, thanks. So are you guys.
And thank you
she
for coming in.
She had a vision, and she went with it.
Right?
Hey,
and
man.
The American dream.
That's right. And now she didn't even need to talk to Mark Cuban. She's like, I don't need to talk to him. I'm not taking his calls anymore.
Thank you, Melissa. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10. Time for one more What's Happening with Allie McKay.
So, on Monday, I brought you the story of Childish Gambino getting hurt at his show in Dallas on Sunday night. So he left the show about 30 minutes early. People in the audience said something looks like he either landed on his foot the wrong way doing a dance move. Some people said he went down to the splits, wasn't sure if it was his groin, whatever it was. They couldn't figure it out.
Q-tipped his ear
because his puppy barked. Yep. Not sure. But one thing I was sure of was I have tickets to tonight's show at the Forum, so God knows it was going to be canceled.
They're not tickets anymore. Now they're just paper.
Yes. Yeah.
That's weird,
the
by the way. God does hate you.
Yeah. My streak continues.
Yeah.
Because yesterday, the Forum tweeted out, the Childish Gambino show at the Forum has been postponed. Tickets will be valid at the newly scheduled date when announced. Thank you. And that was for today's show. Not sure yet how many shows he's going to pull out of. He has 11 more dates, including a show next Wednesday at the Forum.
Mm.
Why can't you buy tickets like a Maroon 5 show? Like get the things canceled we want canceled.
Yeah, trust me. A lot of people yesterday when I tweeted, the streak continues, people were like, please say you're not going to see. And then they list whatever band. I'm like, not a problem. You're fine. But yeah, every show that I... Huh. It's ones that I really look forward to.
Right.
It's not ones that I'm like, oh, that'll be a cool show.
The more excited you are, the higher probability of it canceling.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And Dave, King of Mexico, made a joke. He's like, well, at least it's postponed for the date of Weenie Roast, meaning that I then couldn't go to it then. Uh-huh. But that's not true, you guys. We don't know when it's coming
back.
We
have no idea.
Yeah. Right. Stay tuned to the Forum and keep checking to see how he's doing concerning next Wednesday's
show. We do know that it will be bad for Allie whenever it is.
Whenever it is, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
We know that that's a thing.
That's just how it is.
Yep.
That's how it goes. So, all of you that got to go to Childish Gambino, I'm glad you had fun. And screw you, Dallas, whatever you did to him. Although they say it was a pre-existing injury and he was in a wheelchair going to the iHeart whatever concert. So
he could sit in a throne like Dave Grohl did.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you don't need to be moving around.
I mean, yeah, Donald Glover hasn't made a total career out of dancing in a video once. It means a lot to the entire nation right now. But yeah, sure, put him in a throne.
One is all I'm saying. Listen, I just wanted to hear Sweatpants. I wanted to hear 3005.
Well,
doing
you know,
all the shows. I just...
Yeah, but on your phone, I assume.
I do.
Enjoy
which is
that.
Very similar to a live concert, Kevin.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Watch Community on mute.
I hate all of you right now. Hey, you guys. Netflix announced yesterday that part two of its popular true crime docuseries, Making a Murderer, will premiere on October 19th. He being Stephen Avery, still maintaining his innocence, and they're going to delve deeper into that whole story. If you haven't seen part one, you sit down to watch one, then two, then three, and then you're 10 in, and it's over, and you have flip-flopped 5-6 times whether you think he's innocent or guilty.
Let me ask you a question, then.
Yes.
You watched all 10 episodes.
Yes.
Now they're going to do another 10 episodes on the same story? How much new stuff can there be?
Well, it left you with questions before, and
right.
I want to watch the different appeals that his nephew, Brendan Dassey, went through, because I truly believe that kid was railroaded.
Okay. He just wanted to go to WrestleMania.
He just wanted to get out and go to WrestleMania. If you watch it, the conversations via phone with his mom.
Forced confessions are insane, and this is an obvious one that you see. I mean, it's all weird.
It's crazy. Just saying.
But as far as returning true crime stuff, if people are into that, mm-hmm. I've been listening to the new season of Serial.
Yes.
I know a lot of people ducked out after season two.
Didn't love season two at all.
Season three, I'm a couple in. It's very good. It follows a justice center, sort of just like a courthouse and jail mm-hmm. and prison. And it follows one office, one big building
in
Cleveland.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. And it's it follows different cases for the whole season. It's great so far.
Look at us.
Yeah, true crime.
True crime.
True crime's so popular, I'm nervous producers are going to kill people just to get
just
content.
To get the story?
Yeah, just to get content.
Plot twist.
Yep.
We're all dead. What? That was weird.
And then Will Smith jumps off the Grand Canyon.
I love, you might not know this about me, I love murder and murder shows so much that it...
Don't say that. Don't. You're going to get them canceled.
I love murder.
I'm just saying you're going to get them canceled if you keep talking about how much you love them.
The Donald Glover of TV.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying back down on that a little bit.
Yeah. Can't you like Young Sheldon? go to a taping of Young Sheldon. Get tickets. It'll help everybody.
You guys, I hate my karma when it comes to things I love.
It's not great.
Oh, no. All three of the true loves of my life mm-hmm. are dead.
Jeez.
So, no. Wouldn't that be amazing, though? Like, I'm just murdering people.
It's the staircase.
Oh, I do love that for a second. You were like, oh, my God.
What is she talking about?
It's the next season of Serial.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good stuff. You guys, Twitter is introducing a new policy to fight, quote, dehumanizing language. They're looking to continue ways to make its platform more hospitable. What exactly is dehumanizing language? Well, their definition is two categories. When users are denied of human qualities or denied of human nature. So they gave examples comparing users to animals or reducing groups to their genitalia.
There's still Nazis on there.
They aren't getting it at all.
What's happening?
Before Twitter's new policy goes into effect on October 9th, users are able to submit their own thoughts on the new rules and if they can be improved. Because Twitter's great at listening to you.
Really
if
is,
you
yeah.
have problems. Also, I guess, before October 9th, get all that in. All that dehumanizing language possible.
Yeah, I gotta compare people to animals for the next 2 weeks.
You know, you get a
death
threat.
Why do I feel like nothing's gonna be done?
It won't. Okay. You get a death threat, you flag it, and then you get an email an hour later. This doesn't violate our terms of conditions. Really? Because this person said they wanted to stab me in the face with a... So, I do that a lot.
That is a whole different story.
I mouth words or I use hand signals. Mm-hmm. I'm on the radio.
It's very helpful for a radio show.
It's not helpful to anyone watching, but it makes Kevin laugh.
People dig it.
And really, that's what I'm here for.
People dig it.
Honest. You a napper?
No. Especially since I've been getting up early.
Are you a napper like her parents?
Okay, gross. I meant the literal definition of napper.
Not the McKay nap?
Right, right.
No, not really. Because I'll get so zoned out.
No, see, people like you freak me out.
Yeah.
I dated a guy that could not understand my napping, and it didn't work out.
You
napped. Because he wasn't a napper. But now...
But before this job, you got up way earlier. Even.
I got up at 2:30 a.m.
That's insane.
Yeah,
that's
now I sleep until 3:45, and it's a dream, you guys. But new research is backing up that some of us do need more sleep than others. Japanese scientists have located a mutation in a protein. They found it in mice that increases the amount of sleep that the animal needs, and they're now linking it to humans. So when you say to someone, no, I need more sleep, I need to take a nap, there's science now that backs it up.
I've always believed that. I've always believed
I don't need a lot of sleep.
Everybody is different that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have different protein.
Sure.
It's science.
If that's the word you want to use.
Well, it's a protein called SIK3. It's a
SIK3.
It's a mutation.
This is a fake story. It's a fake story.
Oh,
right. Yeah. No, it's like everyone needs the same amount of sleep. Gotcha, Allie.
It's a mutation called Catfish 4. What?
Gotcha.
So dumb.
Burned.
birthdays for you. Serena Williams, Linda Hamilton, Olivia Newton-John, and James Caviezel.
Jesus.
Jesus indeed. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie, and your drive home today. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we talk to Dr. Drew on Thursdays. We also talk to RJ Bell about betting on the NFL, and Jensen is going to be back with Get Up on This.
Uh-huh.
We're excited about that tomorrow morning.